This is PFW in Progress.
How do I say goodbye?
40-yard field goal attempt by Vinatieri, the angle to the left, two for the hole, the ball down, the kick up, on the way, and it is good! The Patriots win! Adam Vinatieri, with five field goals on the day, plays a big role in his victory. That 40-yarder for the game-winning field goal.
But let me tell you what, he just made the hardest kick he's ever going to have, okay? Now, I hope he gets some harder ones down the road. You know, I hope he's kicking to get his team in a championship sometime. I hope he's kicking to win a championship or whatever it is. But that game-winning kick there, the first one you have, it's on the line. It wasn't easy. The field condition wasn't good. It's raining a little bit. You know, there's a lot of things involved. That's why we're taking shots in the end zone. We're trying to keep from having to make that kick. But he made it. So I take my hat off to him. I told him that after the game. It's a pretty damn good kick.
Good evening, everyone. Gil Santos along with Gino Capoletti at the Winter Wonderland at his Foxborough Stadium. Tonight, the Patriots against the Oakland Raiders in the AFC semifinals, and the snow is coming down in Foxborough and will come down throughout this evening.
45-yard field goal attempt coming up. Snap, ball down, kick up on the way, and it is good!
That field goal to take into overtime was huge. You know, that thing, it looked like a little two-iron stinger that Tiger Woods would hit over the British Open. And the thing was, you know, it didn't go but 10 yards off the ground the whole way, but it went through, and that's the important thing.
And now they've driven down the field and put Adam Vinatieri and the Patriots in position to win. From the 13-yard line, a 23-yard field goal attempt for Adam Vinatieri. The crowd will tell you whether he makes it or not. Set to go. Snap. Ball down. Kick is up.
I'm just so proud to be on this team and so proud of this team in general that whenever anybody can step up and make a play and do something to help this team, everybody does. I'm just getting caught up in the whole roller coaster of this team. This team's awesome. I love these guys.
Ken Walter will hold. Lonnie Paxton will snap from the far hash mark, angle to the left for Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way, and it is good! It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri! Boom to 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team in the National Football League! Adam Vinatieri, 48 yards! Oh, baby!
We're very confident in Adam. You know, we knew once we got him within range, you know, he had a great chance of hitting it. I like my odds with Adam kicking the ball. We figured we had him close enough, he can hit it straight, you know, and that's what he did.
We got a ton of champions out here, and these guys never, ever give up. I've never been so proud to be a member of anything in my life. I love every one of these guys. They just stepped up, shocked the world, but we didn't shock ourselves because we're champions.
You mentioned how you like the ball. Tell us, Adam, how you do like it held.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Angle to the left, 41-yard field goal attempt coming for Adam Vinatieri. Snap, ball down, kick up, kick is on the way. Kick is good! Kick is good! Adam Vinatieri from 41 yards away!
It's so hard to say goodbye.
Don't talk to me.
All right. We're here. We got to talk about this, guys. PFW in progress. Adam is gone, and I guess this is the tough one. This is the one that you kind of shake your head and say, what? You really can't come up with a legitimate excuse why they let this guy walk. But we're going to talk about that for the next 2 hours probably here in PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart will be here, right?
Very shortly, yep.
Okay, and Bob Doyle's bringing me a sandwich. That's all I know. Gary, great piece by Gary. Although, you know, I'm not a sentimental type, so I start rolling my eyes. He gives me the finger through the booth. Yeah. I worked hard at this, you blank. So, but it was a good.
It was for our listeners.
It was for, okay. All right.
But Fred, don't you?
With a picketer outside.
Well, you know, that's a first. Paul.
Yes, we have a picketer.
Paul came to us with breaking news. We actually have a picketer outside of Gillette Stadium. Did you read the sign?
I did not, and I have not actually witnessed this in person.
Oh, okay.
I was dropped a dime by somebody upstairs.
You're a loser! Is he being escorted off by the our top-notch security?
Probably not. Department? Probably no longer there. Yeah,
but it's funny.
Yeah, someone upstairs called down to let Bob know that there was a single picketer outside with a cardboard sign. I couldn't, you know, I don't know what was on the sign.
Oh boy. Well, now this is a tough one, and emails are be coming in. The email address is webradio@patriots.com.
Let me just ask you, since you said you're not sentimental, don't you think there's a difference in certain players, like Vinatieri and Brady are different than Malloy and Ty Law, just because of those kicks that Vinatieri made? He's kind of
Oh, absolutely. I mean, losing, you know, all the when you have the photo, you know, there's all those photos, covers of newspapers, and it's all Adam Vinatieri.
See, I actually think of all four of those guys that you have, the examples you use, the same, and I do think that some guys are different. You know, Willie McGinnis, Troy Brown, put those guys in that category as well. Teddy Bruschi, Richard Seymour. There's a lot.
They are.
There's a lot. They are different.
And they are. But up until this point.
But I guess if you're running a business.
I'm just going to say, up until this point, we were very proud of the fact that we had people making decisions of this team that didn't get caught up in
it. No, I meant fan-wise.
Yeah, fan-wise.
You know, because like fans are turning on Vinatieri. Now, there's a guy I just
whoa, whoa. Who's turning on Vinatieri?
Oh, come on.
We went through this last week. There's enough of a segment out there that is saying his kickoffs are short. They didn't try a lot of field goals last year because they didn't think they were
greedy.
In his range.
Well, we got, what, like 60 emails just this morning.
Yeah, it was probably 80-20 in favor of Vinatieri.
You know, I'm just surprised any real fan of the Patriot would act that way towards
Vinatieri. Well, I have to say, you know, I love Adam Vinatieri, great guy, best kicker in the game. Do I wish him good luck from this point on? No.
No, right.
No.
But you don't want to kill him.
No. But he's the enemy now.
Right.
You know,
but wishing him good luck would be wishing your could mean wishing your team bad luck. So that's not necessarily. I don't have a problem with that for you.
Right. But you don't hate Adam Vinatieri.
You don't hate Adam Vinatieri, and you're not going to sit here now and diminish what he did and
absolutely
say he wasn't
not
as good.
Right.
That's what some people are doing.
And let me start this out, you know, because we're going to probably get into an argument between now and 2 o'clock.
There's no doubt about that.
But let me just get this out so no one can twist my words.
Okay.
All right. I don't know the background of the whole dealings with Adam Vinatieri.
That's true. And none of us sitting here now knows
that. If he walked because the Patriots wouldn't guarantee any portion of what they were offering him, shame on the Patriots.
Right.
Okay? I can't believe that that's
I just
true.
Can't. That's been reported, and I honestly cannot believe
I can't believe that.
That
the Patriots didn't guarantee anything. But if they didn't, because the numbers were basically the same between what's been reported that he signed with the Colts and what's been reported that the Patriots have offered him. You know, the number is the same. It's the guaranteed portion of that. And if the Patriots weren't willing to guarantee any money to Adam, shame on them.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on them.
So if there was no guaranteed money, then by definition, you have to say they didn't offer him a signing bonus because that would be guaranteed money.
Right.
So you're trying to tell me the difference in this whole thing was a $3.5 million signing bonus?
And if that's the difference,
that's
then shame on the Patriots.
And the Patriots, if that's true, I just can't believe that. I really can't.
Everybody gets something guaranteed. I said it a couple weeks ago.
Ray Ventrone
gets a $50,000 signing
Tim
bonus.
Tim Dwight just signed a 4-year deal with the Jets. He got a $750,000 signing bonus. There had to be something.
Had to be something. Okay, so now, take it the other way. If there was something, and let's say it was $2 million instead of $3.5 million, then we know, and this is probably the fact.
Well, Vinatieri, now you can make a decision.
Vinatieri was ready to leave no matter what.
Yeah.
And Andy Hart said it earlier. If there was a team that was willing to give Adam a dollar more than the Patriots, he would have gone.
Yeah,
probably.
See, but now if that's the case, Fred, now you can sit there and you can look at it and you can say, well, do you take the Patriots side or the Adams side? The Vinatieri side.
Andy Hart's here.
Is that what the picketer is saying?
I don't know.
Oh.
I just felt like it was appropriate.
All right.
We talked about the picketer, but we don't know what the sign
says. Do we need to take a side?
No, I'm just saying you can. If you're confronted with your scenario, Fred, that you know, maybe $2 million as opposed to $3.5 in guaranteed, you know, in signing bonus. Now you can sit there and say, okay, well, was Adam being greedy or were the Patriots being cheap? You can have an argument either way.
I know for a fact.
If there's no guaranteed money, like you said, reported,
right.
Then you're right. Shame on the Patriots.
Shame on the Patriots. But the Patriots, I know for a fact, this is one of the few facts that I know. Well, do you know what, any facts on this deal?
No, just kind of sounded very general.
Okay.
There.
I didn't know we were just talking about this deal.
Yeah.
One of the few facts that I know regarding this deal
is
that the Patriots felt that they had a very fair and competitive offer out there to him. Now, I don't understand how they would think that unless there was something guaranteed.
There has to be something that was lost in the report.
So that goes, brings up the bigger picture now. What if players don't want to play here anymore?
I think that is the bigger picture. Because I think they did have a fair offer on the table, and I think that's why this took a while.
But why do you think that? If there was nothing guaranteed, then it wasn't fair.
Because if it was a joke offer, I think anything anyone else offered would have been
much
more attractive.
Better, and it
but he
been
went
wrong.
To Green Bay and he left. And so I feel like he was looking for the money that was reported, maybe $3 million a year, whatever, and he got out there and found out.
But we heard when he went to Green Bay that he was mad at his former agent because he didn't even have an offer ready.
That's a
whole
different issue,
too. And so maybe Green Bay
said,
hey, when you figure out what you want, get back to us. And maybe that was the extent of the
meeting. I think he wanted as much as possible, that, you know, which is kind of obvious.
I don't think when you go into a negotiation, nobody wants to play their hand first.
Right.
You want to be the guy reacting to an offer before because you could lowball yourself.
Right.
So if nothing was exchanged and it simply was the Packers saying, hey, when you have something you want, get back to us.
See,
now he still only has one offer and that's from the Patriots.
Don't you think one of the things they would say to Green Bay, well, I have an offer of X million of blah, blah, blah in New England. And maybe Green Bay was, well, that's a pretty fair offer.
Okay, so what do you want from us? What are you looking for?
Right, but what I'm saying is if he...
Maybe he just didn't want to be here.
Right. If the New England offer was
that
low,
the case.
Then you would have found money elsewhere.
I believe it is the case, too, and I also believe that you posed the question, Fred, is that the case here in general that players, you know, don't want to play here? Is that a possibility with some of these? And I think that is a fear here. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's true.
I think it is true.
I'll help your case.
I think there is evidence that it is true. Of the Patriots' philosophy... philosophy on paying players in which they will not waver, mm-hmm. and being a Patriots fan, have to say, so far has worked. They have a track record that has worked.
Yes, that's
but
accurate.
That does
that's
cause,
accurate.
That is a hard line approach, and obviously there are players in a given situation, Givens is a perfect example, who he doesn't care about the Patriots' philosophy and keeping a strong middle class. He
Nor
wants his,
he.
And he's going to go get it, and good for him.
Right. Well, how about we tie this into another thing philosophically that Tom Casale brought up a month or two ago? Their track record, they haven't replaced coaches. So far, you can't really question it. They've been okay, but sooner or later, do you do that too often and you end up with a bad coaching staff, just like you don't have players ready to step up and be the next Willie McGinnis, the next Troy Brown, the next David Givens?
I mean, all those things are possibilities.
Doesn't your philosophy have to change on the run based on all the factors that are presented in front of you?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Okay. You know,
Fred, you like to read between the lines, and one statement I found really telling is when McGinnis said, I don't want to comment on the situation that's going on over there in New England.
Right.
I thought that was a very telling comment, because he didn't say anything bad about the Patriots other than that one little statement. Everything else was,
well, that
I love
says
it.
A lot.
Well,
right.
One other
that
little statement.
That says
he said he had a coach he could trust now.
Right. It makes you wonder what he's talking
right.
about.
Right. Look,
what is the something going on up there?
Look. His agent is also Troy Brown's, okay? We know what happened
now
with
Adam
Troy
Vinatieri.
Brown. Yeah, and we know what happened with Troy Brown last year, okay? Are there guys on the Patriots right now grumbling about money? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are there guys on every team in the league grumbling about money? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are there more with the Patriots?
I don't know.
Seems to be yes.
I don't know!
But if you get a reputation to be a place where people don't want to come, then you're going to have trouble fielding
a
competitive team.
I mean, plenty of guys have come here.
Here's what I'm wondering
yeah,
about.
Monty
yes, but again, we're
Brown.
Going back on the track record. And we have
well,
to go,
that's, I
we
mean,
have
we have
to go forward.
I mean,
because the immediate track record's not good, Fred.
Well, but the track record for this team is pretty good.
But the immediate one isn't.
What's the immediate one?
Last year.
You didn't win, and all the guys you signed stunk.
So the guys you signed to augment your team last year, almost all failed.
Well, okay. They didn't do that well last year, no.
Right.
So that's all I'm saying. And I'm not, look.
Well, now what if they don't do that well this year?
Right,
now you got 2 years
problems.
You didn't do
can
that
we get
well.
All the disclaimers out, I think, from all four of us? I think we all can agree Bill Belichick is not a good coach. He's a great coach.
Yes.
the New England Patriots have established that they know what they're doing. They've drafted well. They've signed well. They've run a first-class, top-flight organization that is obviously proving that it can win and be at the top of the league. And we'll get all those disclaimers out. We know all that's true. But we have to look at
things
about
right
the future.
And, right. And I'm not.
And that's part of it. Track record is a big part
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. But you have a right to question what's going on now. I'm not going to be yes. one of those people that said 3 out of 5 in Bill We Trust. We shouldn't question. We definitely should question.
You can say that.
However,
if that's what
you there's
believe.
No definitive answer yet that what they've done so far is wrong.
I agree.
Right.
I totally agree. And all we're doing is analyzing today on March 22nd. That's all we're doing is analyzing it now.
Instead of maybe in Bill We Trust, it should be in Mo Lewis We Trust.
Well, whatever. I mean, there are events that lead up to every team's.
That's the first time I've been mad at him since right. the whole time he's been working here. It's the first time I'm legitimately mad at him.
One of those events was Adam Vinatieri kicking a field goal in the snow.
Yeah.
If he never kicked that.
Or it could
what
be.
What could have been.
But that would never have happened unless that fumble was overturned. You know, so
you admit the
right.
Patriots
so you admit this is just a house of cards waiting to come down. You admit it.
No, but they followed that up by showing it wasn't a fluke.
No,
they
but definitely... I want to get back to the whole thing about the players maybe unhappy with the money and stuff, because I think it's telling that you said that guys have been willing to come here in the past, and I agree with you. I think there have been guys willing to come here and play, and they know they're coming to a top organization that does things quote unquote the right way, and I agree with that. Where I'm worrying now is the differences in dollars here for some of these guys is not very big. You know, Willie McGinnis, everybody says, if Cleveland wanted to overpay for him, you know, let him overpay. Well, great. All right. 3 years, $12 million. Six, I think he's going to get guaranteed this year between bonus and, probably a little bit more than I would be willing to get. But he's a guy that started every game last year, played in a very large percentage of snaps. What would you have paid for him? I don't know. Would it have been 6 years, $9 million? Would you have done that? I bet the Patriots would have been willing to maybe do. I mean, 3 years. I'm sorry.
But maybe they weren't willing to give $6 million in guarantees.
But I understand that. But would they have been willing to give four?
I don't know.
I
don't think
it's the big difference.
What I'm saying is the chasm.
That's the huge difference.
Chasm between what the Patriots would give and what the guy actually gets, I don't think is that big. We saw Jason Fabini's numbers in that Dallas story, Tom. He got peanuts. He got like $2.75 million or something like that.
Right.
Well, from what I understand.
The Patriots have offered him that. He thought that was right. I don't think there's a big difference in money here. Guys are just choosing to play elsewhere.
Yeah, but from what I understand in the McGinnis case, okay, before McGinnis was released, the Patriots knew what he was looking for, but they never, ever gave him an offer.
Okay.
So,
but I think the thing that's
I was told they never
here.
Talk I was told by someone inside that they never discussed a contract after he was released.
Now, I'm talking
they
about
talked,
I'm talking
they
about
talked, but never had
I'm
never talked
about
a contract
before he was released.
Right,
Paul.
Right.
But the Patriots
but all
knew
things, all things
the
change
Patriots
when the guy gets
knew
released.
What McGinnis was looking for, you know, in a new deal, because McGinnis admitted, I'm not going to see that last year. We're
right.
going to have
he
to
knew
do
that.
And from what I understand, the Patriots knew what McGinnis was looking for in that new deal, but no counter offer was ever made by the Patriots.
Let me ask you something, Fred. This is something Andy's brought up in the past. Signing these guys, like, say, David Givens last year to an extension, doesn't that prevent you from getting into these problems?
Yes, it does. But there was other business that they had to take care of
but
last
this is
year.
Where I think you can legitimately
you know, they
criticize.
Have the priorities.
I mean, Scott Pioli is, whatever his connection is to Mark Shapiro with the Browns, I mean, the Indians. They're a team that did that once, signed young guys, and now are doing it again.
I was say they
signing guys early. Signing them a year or two too early.
Sign
them
before you
chance.
Have to.
Right.
The guy might not turn into an all-star,
yeah.
but he might be the best player in the league, and now you have him for 4 years under contract.
That's right.
There's
less
a
money.
Certain...
You know, like
I mean, that's smart business.
What, right. With Brady.
Patriots
why
offered,
did they do that with anyone? Because the biggest
offered,
problem here
well, they
is
do
not,
do it with people.
Listen,
it with
the biggest
they
problem
did it with
here,
Brady.
The biggest problem here
twice.
Is not...
They did it with Brady twice, by the way. Okay.
No.
Yes,
he was
but
an
the
established
second
veteran
time
the second
he
time.
The second time he was the best
no,
quarterback
the first,
in football.
They did it yeah. the first it time, once. And they were criticized for it.
Mm-hmm. No, but the well, second time he was a superstar. They don't get credit for that.
But they, yeah.
They don't get credit for that.
They signed a superstar before they lost him. That's what they did.
They did do it.
The first time, they did it. But the bigger problem here is not Willie McGinnis. It's not Adam Vinatieri. It's not David Givens. It's not Tim Dwight.
It's got no one to replace him.
It's everybody.
All of it coming together everybody's just running and nobody's coming.
You can sit there and look at it and say
individually. Even guys that are coming are spending an hour and running.
Right. Individually, I didn't necessarily think that any of these moves probably with the exception of this one. But I don't necessarily think that McGinnis is a make-or-break one. Yeah, he's a kicker. I agree. But I think collectively, when you look at the losses over the last two or three years, the quality of player that they're losing, as opposed to the quality of player they're acquiring, I think there's been a drop-off.
Okay.
That's what's concerning.
You got this year when compensatory picks come out.
And
you got guys leaving, starting for every team, and you're signing guys who can't play.
Now, it appears to me that we're not all that concerned with it. Like, we're just falling back. Players aren't really eager to sign here. Andy just said, guys are spending an hour here, and then they're signing some. DJ Townsend came in. I know they offered him a contract. Re-signed in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh certainly doesn't throw money around. They throw nickels around like manhole covers.
Resigned with the Falcons.
Well,
now I don't know. I mean, I've been reported that Finneran was offered a contract here. I've been told that he wasn't. They never even talked to him.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that's
true. I read the reports.
I don't know what's true there. But Fabini, I know they offered him a contract. Mm-hmm. Mawai, they offered him a contract. These guys are signing not for big money, but they're signing elsewhere. Why?
Patriots are not spending as much money as other teams. Now,
they have $23 million.
That's always been the case. Why are they all of a sudden not signing anymore? That's what has me concerned.
But they never sign guys the first couple weeks of free agency.
But Fred, they've always had guys.
But wait a minute.
Had guys like Jason Fabini, good, solid guys, but not break the bank free agents that have signed here.
Hold on.
Why are they not signing here?
Not in the early weeks of free agency when teams are willing to pay a little bit more than the Patriots. But
look. You're fixating on the numbers. The numbers aren't that different.
Okay.
The numbers, Fred, these guys are signing for less than, you know, a million or two a year.
What do the Patriots offer? Nothing? If what you say is still holding true by the time training camp starts, I'll admit that the Patriots are not getting with the times.
No.
But every contract in the NFL is on file. The Patriots can look at any existing contract that any player has. It's all, you know, as far as the NFL, it's all public knowledge. They know every roster bonus that is due every veteran between now and training camp. For example, Larry Allen yesterday got released because the Cowboys didn't want to pay. Maybe they're looking at and they know a certain percentage of these guys are going to get released before they get that roster bonus.
He also got released because he can't play anymore.
Well, I'm just saying that there are veterans that will be released. June 1st means nothing anymore because of the new CBA.
Fred, these are the type of guys you're talking about. You're talking about a future Hall of Famer in Larry Allen, who's 350 pounds with a bum knee, who can't get around on sweeps anymore.
You couldn't complete the games.
Yeah, those are the kind of guys you're bringing in when you wait this long.
Well, not in the past.
See, Eddie Beisel, Chad Brown,
Brian Cox. I mean, I could go a list of guys.
Yeah, you got to go back.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
Well, I'm just saying that they brought in guys after the first few.
Who were the best free agents they brought in?
Corey Dillon wasn't a free agent.
Harrison.
Rodney Harrison.
Roosevelt.
When did he
sign?
He signed fairly early.
Roosevelt Coleman.
He also took less than what he could have gotten in at the Raiders.
Right, and don't you think that it's troubling now that guys aren't doing that anymore?
With the Raiders?
That's my point.
Well, I think that agents right now look at this new CBA.
Another team that's living on their former championship.
I think agents are looking at the new CBA, looking at the extra money the teams have this year, by the way, and I want to emphasize this year, because teams are going to spend up to the cap this year, and they're not going to have that much extra next year. But anyway, they're looking
up another $7 million next year.
Yeah, but that's the same as they get every year. It's not like they're going to get the big increase that they got this year. Anyway.
I understand your point. It's going from 85 to 102.
Right.
Next year it's going from 102 to 109.
Exactly.
That's a difference.
So agents are looking.
But we just assume all other teams are morons and they don't plan for next year either?
Well, that's basically what we've based our whole foundation on, is that the other 31 teams don't know
agents
what they're
doing. Agents are telling their guys, don't compromise this year. Take every penny. Don't compromise when the Patriots try to, give you that value deal. And, you know, this year it's not working out for the Patriots as well as it has in the past. But, you know, teams are going to spend up to that cap.
How well did it work out in the past? Are we overrating that a little bit too? The 2000 team was a bad football team where you had to sign a lot of players.
Free agent acquisitions are highly questionable as a whole.
How well did it work out?
Because
Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, guys who were around played a big part in those championships.
I don't care if one of their free agent signings was Rudy. They've won three Super Bowls since 2000.
That's good.
Adam Vinatieri, Willie McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi.
I don't
Troy
care
Brown.
Why.
None of those guys had anything to do with it.
The
and
body of work resulted in three freaking Super Bowls. Let's not forget
that. This is the most ridiculous comment that you've ever made in a long string of them. Because no, we're talking about free agency. We're talking about signings, the decisions to let guys go and to sign guys on.
Okay.
And all I'm saying is I think if you look at the body of work in free agency here, I think that you're losing players that are better than the players you're bringing in. I'm not talking about, you know, I drafted a quarterback who is the best player in the league, and that's why I've won three Super Bowls. No one's taken that away from him. They've drafted excellent.
Easy Dennis Green over there.
I'm not talking about the fact that Bill Belichick is the best coach in football in my mind, and it puts together game plans that are better than everybody else. They're excellent
that's
at that.
Part of it.
That was part of my whole disclaimer
Maybe
in the
first
5 minutes.
That's one of the reasons why they don't need to do what the Redskins
apparently
do.
So in other words, they just do this on purpose. They just stumble over themselves and sign guys that can't play.
Apparently, Paul, you forgot about Donald Hayes.
Right, no, and I also forgot about Cam Cleland.
And there's tons of them. You know,
there's more misses than hits in free agency.
For every team, Paul.
But we're talking about the best. This is the organization that does it better than everyone else.
Name me the team that has the best free agent signings. What team does it the best?
I don't know.
Tell me. I'm just asking. Give me the model.
I don't know.
Give me the model team that does it right in free agency.
You're getting all defensive. I'm just asking.
I'd like to know. I'd like to know.
This is not fun.
I want to know the team that does it the best in free agency.
I think Tennessee does a good job.
Okay.
I mean, they had
those. How many Super Bowls they win?
They had those 2 years they had to rebuild, but I think they.
Why did they have to rebuild?
Because they
overpaid people!
No, Fred, you know what?
Manage your cap rate!
Because they went after a Super Bowl.
Paid. Why are we letting everybody go?
A Super Bowl, and they came with a
Drew Bennett
drop. Why are
we letting everybody go, Andy?
And,
why don't you name me some of the key contributors in Super Bowls, three Super Bowls that you are so fond of bringing up? Who are some of the most key defensive players?
Dan Cutler.
For the Patriots?
Yeah. Just name some of them.
Well, Bruschi.
Okay.
Seymour.
How did he get here?
What?
How did he get here?
He was drafted.
Okay. By who?
By the Patriots.
How did Seymour get here?
What by who?
Parcells. So? Okay. Who cares who he was drafted
by?
Law.
But
who
how did Seymour get here?
They built their team through the draft.
Okay, so don't tell me they've dominated in free agency
Can
and Antoine Smith
that?
Won them Super Bowl.
No?
This system has served them well in the past. They won three freaking Super Bowls.
I said
Bowls.
The overall,
I
the
said
way
free
they
agency.
Do things,
I quote
Paul.
Accurately?
Paul, it's not just free agency. Any team that just relies on free agency is doomed to fail in the NFL.
Who just relies on free agency? Give me an example of a team that just relies on free agency.
I asked you to tell me what team does it right in free agency.
And I'm asking you.
And you can't answer me.
Tom just
and neither
you.
Can
and
you.
I told
and
you that
you.
I think their free agent
the
success is overrated.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Colts have done right in free agency?
Yeah.
They don't sign a lot of free agents. That's their philosophy.
They sign
their
own.
They re-sign their
they
own.
They sign
okay.
their own.
Okay.
Patriots don't sign a lot of free agents either.
Right.
And they don't sign their own.
Fred, my only point
I think,
is,
I think when they
let's not overrate the free agents that they've signed. They've had some guys that have contributed,
but
core of this football team was drafted here, either by this regime or by a previous regime. Now that core is being allowed.
I've
to
never
leave.
Said
you
that the Patriots
them.
Have won because they've been smart in free agency. I've
no,
never
said
that.
What I said
was
their free agent
their
success has been overrated.
They have made mistakes, and they will admit they've made ton of them.
But you,
every team makes a
success,
and that's
why.
Every
team,
I
don't think they would ever admit anything. But that's
well,
besides
look,
the point.
Look, I think they would. And every team has made mistakes in free agency. And any team that thinks that they're going to win by what they do in free agency,
right,
is doomed to fail
right.
because it's been proven
I think
again and again.
Team, I think
that
one
you
team,
lose more often than you win in free agency.
I think there's one team that basically thinks they can do it all through free agency, and that's it. And that's Washington.
Right.
Right.
I don't think there's any example you can give me of another team that thinks that all we have to
and
do
is
sign free agents.
And it's the perfect example of the team that's wrong. I mean, that's the example
how far
of
did they go in the playoffs
same,
last
did they have the same record as the Patriots last year?
How just, far did they go in the playoffs last year?
Well, we're going to – now everything is last
no, because
year.
You think there's
they
only one
way
to do
things, Super Bowl titles
Fred.
Too, Fred.
I don't think that.
Yes, you do.
They have
I think
Super
the Patriots
titles.
Way is the only way.
No, I don't
because
think
they've
that.
Won three Super Bowls.
No, I don't think that. But it is a pretty good way.
I just want to wait
it's
till
a
like
damn
8
good
years
way,
go
Paul.
By and there's other teams that have won Super Bowls. Then I want to see what you're, how you're saying that.
The way
the
Patriots have done it is a pretty good way. It's not the only way.
But we'll see how it
every
out
every coach doesn't have to be like Bill
but
Belichick.
How did they do it?
Every quarterback doesn't have to be like Tom Brady.
Paul Lewis.
But having that is pretty good.
Well, I'd just like
that's
to point
twice.
Out, again, with Paul's thing, Bill Belichick is a proven great coach. And I just brought up to you that I think the core of this team was either drafted or already here. So their core, their philosophy was give pretty good players to a great coach, and he turned them into a great team.
What I'm trying to say is,
okay.
is
free
the
agency has not been the heart of their
is it the system.
I would agree with that.
Is it the system
all
that
I
they
said
use?
Was, they were overrated in how successful they were in free agency.
Well, who said that?
Who said it?
But you just
no. But wait a minute.
Credit.
Who's saying? So wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa
has served them well in the past.
There's not the free, their total system.
Okay, what
has
I'm saying is,
them
it,
well.
Is it the system that served them well, or is it the fact that Belichick is at the top of his craft and
that's
that Brady is
system.
At the top of his craft?
Get a lot of middle class guys, coach them up,
middle
teach them a
guys.
System.
I'm talking about that's the guys not, that are the core of
right.
winning.
What right. I'm saying is, if you put, I don't know, pick the guy, pick a regular coach, middle of the line coach, pick
Steve
whoever
Spurrier.
You want.
Dennis Green.
You put Dennis Green in charge of the Patriots the last five years. They do not win three Super Bowls.
I agree.
So is it the system that won the Super Bowls, or is it the fact that they have outstanding talent here
Fred, in certain spots? Fred, can I give you another system? There was a guy by the name of Joe Montana who we all think is great, right?
Here we go.
Now, Bill Walton.
I know a little bit about
him. Let me tell you why.
We all think he's great, right?
Well, I think he's great because I like guys with talent.
But Bill Walsh realized how good this guy was and surrounded him with talent, and the offense was unstoppable. You're telling me if you don't surround Tom Brady with talent, there's nobody that could touch the Patriots. They would win nonstop with that offense if they gave Tom Brady talent because he's that good.
Can you do
instead of Mark Boerichter and Rashay Caldwell?
Tom, you're talking about surrounding a guy with talent when you didn't have a salary cap. And by the way, San Francisco kind of screwed up with that, and they paid for that later. But now you can't just pay the best guys and put them
they
on
also,
one team.
They also didn't have
so
the luxury of being able to sign guys.
Now, hold on. I'm not finished yet. Can Tom Brady win without talent around him? No. He needs talent around
him. I'm saying if you gave him another explosive receiver to go along with Deion Branch, with give him those weapons, with his, the way he plays the game, they'd be unstoppable.
Absolutely.
They also had only one means with which to acquire talent back then, and that was through the draft. And that's when, you know, when 20-some-odd teams passed on a guy named – let me tell you about a guy named Jerry Rice that everybody didn't really think was all that good.
Okay.
Played at a 1-AA level that Andy scoffs at
that's
constantly.
Great. It's a different era, though. You have to manage it a little bit differently.
It's a different era now. You just told me. It was,
you definitely need
all the
advantages.
San Francisco
can't do it with just the draft. You can't do it with just free agency. You have to have a mix of all of those things.
Right.
I think when
I agree with
I
that.
Think the collective work
I agree with you on this.
I think the collective work I think the Patriots have done all right
yeah,
so far.
No question.
Now,
we're all in agreement.
Last year
on that.
Did
that
the guys
was,
that they bring in
disclaimer.
Were they as effective as the year absolutely not.
And
you know?
We're just analyzing we're basically what's happening now, Fred. We're not analyzing that Mike Vrabel was an outstanding free agent signing in 2001. We're not analyzing that. We all know that. We're not analyzing whether Brian Cox did anything in 2001.
I'm not ready to revamp this whole system that the Patriots have
we're
going
not
for
either.
Them.
We understand that the system that they've used has served them well. We all agree
Thank
on
you,
that.
Thank you, Mike Vrabel.
Look, we've all been part. I mean, Tom hasn't been because he's Johnny-come-lately, but the three of us have all been a part of a lot of success here, and we've enjoyed it. And we hope to have it continue. But to just sit there and say
that
it's going to continue because it had in the past.
Well, are you saying it's not going to?
I'm saying right now, based on what you've seen, how can you sit there and say, I'm not worried because in 2001, they signed a bunch of guys that helped.
Please don't put words in my mouth.
A crappy team.
Okay, please do not put words in my mouth. I am concerned. I want to see some people coming in, just like you guys.
All right, now we can continue this without having to say, they won three Super Bowls.
But. I'm willing to wait until training camp to see what roster they field.
Of course we can't,
right.
Fred. In 3 weeks, we might be talking about the three guys they've signed the last 3 weeks that we think are going to really make a positive impact.
All right, well, you know.
We might be talking in a month about the draft that we think might be the best draft they've ever had.
The bottom line is we're more concerned that with the thing we were talking about, the bigger picture, that what if players don't want to play here?
What if players just don't want to play here anymore? What if Keyshawn Johnson is speaking for a lot of the league?
And
Keyshawn Johnson loves Belichick.
And by training camp, if what they've signed is junk,
you won't say it.
That no,
you will love that junk. You'll be
David Terrell's going to be good this time around.
He'll be going around with his Patriots shirt on, with the number 00 in the front and the word junk on the back.
All right. We got a lot of emails going on, and, you know, I'm just not as anti-Patriots as you guys are.
Oh, gosh. This is what he does. This is anti-Patriot. Little disclaimer was wasted, Tom.
You know, so we got to get to the emails. Phone number, email address is webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482.
Are we in the minority?
The bottom line is the fans are upset.
I'm just saying, there's a guy outside picketing. Are we in the minority?
Fans
are upset that Vinatieri is gone.
This is the bottom line here. The fans are upset.
We didn't see this type of backlash with McGinnis.
No, but that's my point.
It's a cumulative
effect.
It's wearing them down.
I even think that if McGinnis had signed and Vinatieri left, I think people would still be pissed.
Not as pissed.
Maybe not.
There is a cumulative effect here.
I think the fans are upset. And I think on the surface, I can understand why. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that they suddenly don't know how to run a football team anymore.
And I'll go back.
I'm not forgetting all the success that they've had.
Right.
I'm not forgetting that Belichick and Pioli have certainly acquired more players in their tenure together that have worked out than not.
And one of the problems with the Patriots is that
free agency?
One of the problems with the Patriots is that we only ever get to hear one side of the story. We don't know.
But here's the thing, Fred. Do you think it's a legitimate thing to say all of the veterans they've let go in the past, no one has really come back to haunt them? Is that a legitimate thing to say? Would they be a better team today if they still had some of these guys that they've let go, or would they be a worse team today?
If Ty Law was still here, they'd have been better last year.
They may have won another Super Bowl if he was here last year. So I don't think it's really accurate to say that no one's really come back to haunt them.
Did I say that?
No, I'm saying that's the general perception.
All of a sudden, like, these things get thrown out. I have to defend myself for something I never even said.
We're not attacking you.
Okay.
I'm just saying that's a,
feel better.
Is that or is that not a general perception out there? Name one veteran the Patriots let go that they were proven wrong about.
I think
about.
The general perception is on these big decisions like getting rid of Bledsoe, getting rid of Malloy, they've come out on the right side.
Right. Mm-hmm. But
and I think isn't that true?
Yeah, I think for the most part it is true. But right. What I'm saying is
three Super Bowls.
Right. But what I'm saying is right.
Is that worth nothing
you
to
are
you?
So
no,
easy.
It's worth everything.
I just wanted to get you going there.
But why would you even say that?
Fred, without that, you'd have a lot more than one picketer outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you wouldn't
so
have
don't,
the track record.
Don't keep saying that we're ignoring that.
I just love that there's a picketer outside.
All right. All right. Steve, one more thing.
You need to bring a friend.
All right. Do we have commercials? All right. Let's go to a break. We'll be right back.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now. Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year, and now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
I'm Teddy Bruschi. You know there's no team like the Patriots. And no place like home field. No fans like ours. No victories like we've had.
And the Patriots have done it again.
And no better way to keep up with all of it than Patriots On Demand.
Introducing Patriots On Demand, exclusively with Comcast Digital Cable. It's your ticket to the Patriots all year long with Patriots video news, game highlights on Pat's replay, press conferences, and more. Just go to NFL Network On Demand and select from the Patriots On Demand menu to watch whenever you're ready. So call 1-800-COMCAST today and get your first month free on select Comcast Digital Cable packages.
There's nothing else like Patriots On Demand.
That's 1-800-COMCAST. Call today and get your first month free on select Comcast digital cable packages. Offer ends 1-106. Restrictions apply. Offer does not include applicable taxes and additional fees. Call for availability, pricing, equipment, and service details. NFL Network On Demand and Patriots On Demand are subject to the NFL's blackout policy. Following the promotional period, regular rates apply unless service is canceled by calling 1-800-COMCAST.
Looking for the perfect item for the big game? Wear what the pros wear exclusively from the Patriots Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your New England Patriots.
Tom Brady, touchdown Patriots!
And New England Revolution official apparel.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman! The Rams pull out another lead!
The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots and Revolution gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else.
everything from jerseys and sweatshirts and hats to specialty items like flags, commemorative prints, and collectibles. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public 7 days a week, except during home games. Can't get to the stadium? The Patriots Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at Patriots.com. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you are any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Lot to talk about, lot to discuss. On the phone right now is Phil from Austin, Texas. Phil, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great.
Hey, Phil.
You guys are pumping up the volume today.
There's a lot of emotion running through here.
Fred came in this morning. The first thing he said to me, Phil, was, oh, you guys are going to kill me on the radio today.
Is it like that where everyone else in Boston?
Yep.
Well, let me ask you, Phil, being down there in Texas, what's it like to have a team sign a superstar like Terrell Owens?
Well, I'm not a Dallas fan, so I couldn't tell you. I root for them about as much as you do.
Well, Paul does a lot.
two fourths of this panel.
You know, but Adam, when something like this just doesn't make sense at all, it kind of leads me to believe that there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about.
Yeah, I agree with you.
There's no doubt about that, Phil.
You know, maybe it's his back, maybe it's something. I don't know, but it just on the surface, it doesn't make sense. You got to figure there's stuff there that you don't really have any access to.
I don't think it has anything to do with Adam's ability. I think it has more to do with just, you know, it's a game of brinksmanship. And, you know, Adam was pissed off. He thought he should have had a deal a lot sooner than this. The Patriots had a line that they weren't going to cross. And, you know, like Andy said this morning, if a team was going to give Adam a dollar more than the Patriots are offering, he would have gone.
And if he really is mad at the Patriots, he signed with the right team to get back at him. That's
for
the
sure.
Perfect part.
Yeah. Here's my theory. I want to bounce it off you guys. My theory is that looking back at 2005 and doing their analysis, Bill just didn't like what he saw at all. You know, bad running game, bad special teams, not many playmakers on defense, and I think he's decided that this is not going to take a minor free agent signing and a few draft picks. He's really going to have to change quite a number of players in this team to be competitive again.
Almost like he's looking at this as a rebuilding year?
Yes.
That's a good question. You know, what are they going to do with the 20 men? But, I think last year they really only had five rookies on the team. I think this year they're looking...
Well, you know, Phil, you bring up a really good point.
I don't disagree with that.
You bring up a good point, and the fact is, if that's the case, if Belichick looks at it that way, then, of course, you start with the draft, and you don't just sign the next free agent available just to fill holes. You really wait for the right guy. And if that's the case, Patriots fans might have to get a little patient here.
Were there no right guys out there, though?
I mean, what guy out there was
that? I don't know.
I thought Fabini was a good fit for here.
But don't you think Phil's point is if
that
it's
was
that
the one
bad, then no one right guy is... We got to get this draft class together,
yeah.
No. Next year in free agency, right guys... Now, over a year, we've changed 10 guys.
But our Patriots fans willing to wait for that.
Plugging in Jags the way they have in the past was not the way to go.
Right.
You don't just sign guys for the sake of signing, but there were no quote-unquote Colvins out there.
Right. We know me and Fred know who the right guy was.
I'm not saying there was.
Colvin took a pretty low deal, I thought, to come here. So you have to convince a guy. Now, Julian Peterson wasn't convinced because he got $18.5 million to go to Seattle.
Right.
So maybe there wasn't a guy that was... Young can help us 4 or 5 years and is willing to take half his market value.
Sam Madison might not have been a guy that you could have gotten, you know, to really be a playmaker.
He's a little older now.
Right.
I want to win. We're going to win this
Bill
year.
Bill was saying not this
bad.
Year.
Maybe
not
Bill
06,
doesn't think that they could win this year, and he's willing to, you know.
Like I said, I don't disagree with Phil's theory. I think that there's probably some merit to it. I don't think it's probably that black and white, but I don't think that if I was Bill Belichick, I would have liked a lot of what I saw last year either.
Yeah. And we look at, they clearly didn't really like the draft last year. That became very evident over draft weekend.
They were falling over themselves to trade every pick out.
You have nine picks this year, including, you're going to get a couple more in
the
compensation.
Yeah.
You have what, 4 or 5 of them are in like the top 100 and whatever.
50.
So you could end up with, say, if you move around a little, five or six players in the first five rounds of the draft?
Yeah, well, they get three starters out of the draft last year. I think they did pretty well.
Well, they ended up with guys who started.
Right.
Two of them were backups. Dwayne Starks didn't stink. If Tyrone Poole doesn't get hurt, Ellis Hobbs not a starter. And Randall if Matt Gage Light too. Doesn't go down, then Nick Casher is probably not a starter. So you get Logan Mankins was a legit day one starter.
Day one starter. They penciled him in the first day of minicamp. He was with the starting
But
line.
If they think this draft is good and there's, you know, 150 guys out there that could help, you know, NFL teams and they can get five or six of them, maybe they are trying to do a quick rebuild on the run here.
Well, that kind of leads me to the question, if they're trying to do that, then what do they do with the $20 million that's in their pockets this year?
Maybe some of it tries to get rolled over to next year.
Some of it better go to Richard Seymour to get him wrapped up.
Well, you also don't have to spend it all.
And you can do the credit thing, do the tweak, the Brandon Gorin $7 million bonus that rolls over.
But you can have some cap flexibility. I mean, you don't have to go right to the edge.
You can also tweak it so you end up with a credit next year. Instead of $109 million, you get $119 million to play with on next year's cap.
Right.
I kind of disagree with Fred's idea of signing Seymour. I think they ought to go after guys like Copen and Asante, the guys who they can probably sign now for less money than they'll have to pay to sign him a year or two from now.
Yeah, but don't you Seymour think, walk? You don't want to wait for Seymour next
Seymour
year because he's got all the leverage.
Seymour's not going to take a hometown discount.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying paying market value, but the market value of Richard Seymour right now is even less than it will be next year. So the Patriots, Richard gets his money a year early at today's market rate, and the Patriots don't have to wait next year and pay even more to get him.
Well, here's the thing. Seymour is signed for next year. You could franchise him in 2007.
You could.
He's not going to take a hometown discount. You're going to pay top dollar for Seymour whenever you sign him.
Right. And top dollar goes up every day.
He's hurt his knee each of the last 2 years.
Playing fullback.
You have the option of making him play for you for two more years.
Yeah, you have the option of trying to make him play for you.
I was going to say, you could try to make him play for you indefinitely. Just keep franchising him if you wanted to, but that doesn't mean he's going to sign the franchise.
He can sit home till November and show up on whatever that date is, right. November 7th, and give you six games, and you're out of Seymour for 10 games.
Well, if you think that's the kind of guy he is, and I don't think you do, then he's not the guy you want to sign to a long-term contract.
Anyway.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
I don't think my definition of that kind of guy and your definition of that kind of guy are the same.
I think he deserves his money.
I think he deserves to be paid. And I don't think that he would be showing any selfishness to not want to play for half of what his market value is.
Don't forget, Phil, next year, Deion Branch is up.
Right.
And who else? Who else is up next year?
Copen, Samuel, Graham, Seymour, and...
I don't think Deion Branch is a break-the-bank kind of receiver.
I don't either. But you need to have some receivers.
You're going to want to be paid like a number one.
He's going to want more than David Givens.
Sure. And I wouldn't be too upset to see him give out big money to Seymour this year.
I keep hearing that here, that these guys aren't... But, well, then go sign Terrell Owens and surround him by a bunch of bums. You guys want to keep letting all the receivers go? Who's Brady going to throw to?
Right. You need some continuity.
Phil, like we were talking about earlier, you know, if you could get something done ahead of time, and you advocated doing guys like Copen and Samuel now, I think that's a fair point because you could probably get them for affordable dollars. But it's just like Andy and I were saying, maybe if you had gone to Givens last year when he was a restricted free agent and offered him the $17 million that you offered him this year, he'd have taken it. Matter of fact, I would venture to say he would have taken it.
Well, I think, for
a five-year deal, $17 million with a chance to have some security as a seventh-round pick. Branch is in the same kind of category. I think that he's going to be looking for more money than that because he saw what Givens got, and he probably views himself as a higher level than that. So I think if you do it now, you might be able to avoid some problems later. I think Seymour is the single most indispensable player after Brady on the team, and I think it's going to take a lot to re-sign him. But I think if you're going to hope for the franchise thing, then you're asking for trouble because you're just going to end up with a disgruntled player.
Yeah, my guess is Seymour caught the news wire yesterday and saw what John Henderson re-signed for.
And Abraham with that trade, as well. He had the three-way trade to Atlanta where he got $18 million in guaranteed, it's a lot of money.
You're looking at 20.
Seymour is at a higher level than these guys. I really do.
The first digit they write down is a two. Right. The first digit's going to be a two.
Don't hear much about Neal. Do they?
No.
Well, he's down
in
Texas.
In Miami.
Are they going to let him off?
He's in Miami.
The Texans, too.
He was with the Texans.
What do you think about that, Phil? Because I was very surprised. I thought he'd be a guy that would be locked up right away.
I do, too. Although, I'll tell you what. I thought he played better in 2004 than he did in 2005.
Well, I think
collectively, it's hard to judge that line.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really know. You know, Neil is only a product of the guy next to him, too. It all works.
And I'm not going to pretend to know the inner workings of an offensive line, but I will say last year I noticed him a lot making some eye-popping athletic plays on some of those long screen passes where he was 20 yards downfield just taking guys out. Remember the one with Graham jumping over
Atlanta.
In Atlanta. I mean, I that doesn't mean he had a great year last year. I'm not.
The offensive line
that.
Didn't have a great year. You can't argue that anyone did.
But I'm with Paul. I thought that was the one that they would sign.
I'd be more inclined to give him a contract long term than Ashworth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
Ashworth isn't coming back.
That's apples and oranges. You're talking about a much higher level of talent.
But
with Neil,
isn't Neil's agent Jonathan Hurst?
He was a Cornridge client.
That's kind of how Belichick found out about him. You know, and kind of this undiscovered talent. That's
right. Raw talent.
Raw talent.
So what do you think it would take to sign Neil in this market?
I don't know.
$2 million?
Know.
Well, Hutchinson.
You know what?
It, so.
I mean,
what?
I mean, this is a young guy who a lot of people think is a Pro Bowl caliber player.
Hutchinson is a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not saying he's going to get $7 years and $49 million, but what if he gets half that? That's too much for the Patriots. Yeah.
Are they going to give him $4 or $5 million?
Because the Seahawks.
We ought to just, pack it in,
Fred.
As well.
All right. Fred, analysis.
All right.
Okay. Calm. Analysis.
Okay. All right, Phil. Well, we appreciate the call.
All right,
that's
take care,
Phil
guys.
From Austin.
Phil.
Let's get to some emails here because they are piling up. We're here until 1 o'clock.
I was just going to say. I mean, the Belichick side, the Patriots side would say Neil is a 30-something guard who's been injury prone and is it too late to start living on potential? He's not a Pro Bowler. You can say he could be a Pro Bowler, but at this point. I mean, I think there's an argument there against Stephen Neal's.
You're paying on potential.
Right.
That's what you're paying on.
For a 30-year-old.
Yes.
It's a little different than paying on potential for a 26-year-old.
Because he did get a little late start.
And, Andy, to further illustrate your point, a 30-year-old guy with some pretty significant injury.
Right. Yeah, no question. So, I mean, there's a downside to it and something that would bring his value back to reality.
Well, when you talk about injuries, Copen might be the guy you really have to look at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about that. I have concerns about Copen and Light because of, their extensive time on the injured list last year. And, with Light especially, that was week 3 in Pittsburgh. That was, very, very early in the season. We know that he had a procedure done in January to correct some sort of problem that recurred. I have been told that he had another procedure since then because he's having some sort of circulation problem around the area of the bone that healed.
Wow.
That's not good.
No.
Someone actually in the pro shop had mentioned that he was seen on crutches, as recently as a month ago. I mean, that's not good.
Right.
And Copen, I think Andy talks about the scar that he saw in the locker room on the back of Copen's shoulder. That was eye-opening.
As Andy and I were talking before, the Cleveland Browns have allowed Jeff Fain, their center, to seek a trade.
I saw that.
He's maybe a possibility as someone.
Which is strange. That's bad news for Cleveland because it looked like they were really putting together the pieces of a pretty good offensive line. Well, why is the center one out?
Well, because they signed LeCharles Bentley.
Oh, that's true.
I would think if he's good, you say, go to guard. We want to keep you as part of our young, developing offensive line. So I just wonder if he's been a disappointment there, and I have no idea of.
Right, I don't either.
But I wonder if he's been a bit of a disappointment.
All right.
That's not disappointing.
Chad Eli writes in, what a day to have my birthday on. Patriots yet again bite the dust by losing Vinatieri. What are they thinking? Well, I can understand the others, Big Willie Givens, but Vinatieri, this business is what have you done for me lately, but I disagree with kickers. I don't have to go on with what he's accomplished with for our club, but even though he can't kick past 50, Bill rarely goes for it anyways, and missed that one field goal in Denver, doesn't mean you don't pay the man. ESPN report that the Pats would have called Vandager.
I think they're ripe for the picking.
Four clutch kicks that I can count, and not to pay Vinatieri. Wow. I understand that the Patriots set a so-called value on players and go by that so-called chart, but answer me this. Does the chart tell them that what available players are out there and what their options are if that player doesn't fall within their so-called value? So,
No, Fred, let me ask you. Vanderjack isn't going to play for peanuts.
No, they're going to have to pay him.
I think they're ripe for the picking.
Relatively close to what Vanderjack
got. That's a comment I made today. Andy disagrees with us on that.
I mean, his cat Ryan Longwell just signed two. Ryan Longwell, is,
I think he has stuff that brings his value down. I mean, the missing a kick like that to end a year hurts you. Having a reputation of
you
not
don't
getting
think
Vanderjack's
going to get $2 million a year?
I think there's a chance he doesn't.
I think
as the pieces start to fall into place.
Vinatieri, by the way, 8-for-15 career, 50 and over. I mean, that's not a terrible percentage.
Hasn't attempted that many lately.
Especially considering where he kicks.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's not like he's in the dome where you
the most overrated argument against him so far.
You know, and,
well, maybe not, because now people are saying his production is declining because he had 100 points last year on his fewest attempts.
In his career, 55, 54, and 57 yard makes. I mean, it's not like this guy is chicken feed.
Right.
You know, when it comes
but
to long-range
kicks. The smear campaign
kicks.
Has started. He's no longer a Patriot.
Neil Rackers,
Fred Kirsch is leading the
no
way.
No one made that amount of 50-yarders ever. That was a season for the ages for the kick.
Right.
The
and refresh me, maybe I'm not remembering all. I mean, he missed the one against the Patriots, Vanderjack. He missed the one last year.
Missed the first one against Tampa Bay in that comeback, but then that they call that bogus leaping. And then the second one hit the upright and went in.
And he also missed an overtime in the playoffs against Miami down in Miami several years ago.
He does have like 6 or 7
but
big
you know
misses.
What?
He doesn't have the ice in his veins that Vinatieri has.
I mean, in Vinatieri's
but
clutch.
Who does? I feel like I can name every, even good kickers, and come up with a list of their important
misses. I was going to say, Vinatieri's clutch aspect, I think, is beyond reproach. But I can think of at least 4 or 5 that, I mean, everybody only talks about the one he missed in Kansas City. Later that year, he missed one in the waning seconds against Buffalo. He missed one later in that same game in overtime against Buffalo. The following year, he missed one. Now, admittedly, it was in a blizzard. In Buffalo, he missed a game winner, and they ended up winning in overtime. He missed an overtime one against Houston, where it was blocked. So there have been some on the game on the line misses that Adam had that no one ever talks about because obviously the resume is overwhelming on the other side.
Mm-hmm. I just think every kicker you could find game winning misses.
Yeah.
Well, it's like the Michael Jordan. It's like the Michael Jordan.
No
commercial.
One's better on the in the clutch than
it's like the Michael Jordan commercial he had years ago about how many game-winning shots he actually missed, but nobody remembers those.
Right. Because he didn't miss the ones he had to.
Right.
But you know, speaking of those Michael Jordan, can I have just a little one of these little asides? Totally. Those commercials are tremendous. Those Michael Jordan commercials where they show kids playing in the playground and they have them act out some of the great moments that Jordan had. Those are phenomenal. I love those commercials.
I miss that. I
haven't seen
They show one, a guy comes in from the foul line with the dunk. Right. It's just like, you know, some 15-year-old kid.
He can do it?
No, it's generated. It's, you know, and they put another one where he hits that game-winning shot against Cleveland where he turns around and he jumps about 25 feet in the air and pumps his fist. But it's just some, you know, 12-year-old kid doing it.
They do the baseline dunk on Ewing?
Fantastic. The one when he goes up in the air and he switches hands in the air and goes up and under?
No, the one where he dunks on Ewing.
No, I'm talking about all of them.
Because I think that was one of the most amazing ones I've ever seen from him.
Sean McLaughlin writes in, a dark Wednesday in Patriots Nation, probably the worst day since 1998 when Curtis Martin left. Or in 2002, when the Bledsoe era was officially over. Look, I don't know what is going on in Foxborough. Maybe they did not get the memo that the offseason has begun, or Fred was real worried about losing the Pepsi machine, so they're not spending any money.
But we don't even have any Diet Pepsi down here.
That is true.
But I, you know, that could be part of it.
Look at that Jack kiss me.
But I want to
across the board.
But I want to call out Patriots Nation, those fans who say Adam was not worth the money or he lost a step and only made 2 good kicks. You fans need
your
head
examined. Herschel Walker today.
Not everything is wonderful on the good ship Patriots anymore. Adam Vinatieri is a Boston sports icon and deserved the money and respect he should have been shown. I realize you can't hold on to the past and dare we question the Pats front office. But to say Adam lost a step and hearing words like overrated is absurd. Good luck, Adam, but wish it was not in Indy. I do like to start a campaign and say no to Vanderjerk. If anyone wants on board, let me know. Peter King says we are going to end up signing Keyshawn Johnson. I guess we can count on Keyshawn going to the Giants since Peter King is right so often.
How dumb is Peter King?
Tune in next week for another edition to Patriots Goodbye, as we say goodbye to Troy Brown, who will be an Atlanta Falcon by next week, while we sign Mel Mitchell.
Wow.
Wow.
Sean McLaughlin is about as passionate a Patriots fan as there is on
Let me ask you something, Fred.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, didn't Keyshawn Johnson get kicked off his team for the exact same reasons that Terrell Owens
insubordination,
got kicked off
his team? Tom.
So
he's deactivated.
It's okay to
go home.
It's okay to bring in Keyshawn, but
I wanted him to bring in Terrell Owens.
No, I know, but I'm just asking you. Don't you see that's kind of bringing a guy half the.
I'm the one that doesn't want to bring in those kinds of guys.
Right.
Fred doesn't care as long
no,
as he wants to win.
I'm just pointing it out. Bringing a guy with half the talent for almost as much money who did the same things.
Fred would sell out his wife.
I don't think Keyshawn's going to get Terrell Owens' money.
He wants four a year. Terrell Owens makes five. That's close.
Yeah, but what he wants and what he gets are two different things. I think if he wants $4 million a year, why would the Giants just give it to him?
Talk about not playing for a hometown discount. I think Keyshawn is,
What if he wants $4 million a year and he goes out there and talks to a couple teams and they say, well, maybe for two, but not for four. He might as well just go to the Patriots. They'll probably give him two.
Peter King should know that Keyshawn actually called the Chiefs personally and said he wants to play there. So it doesn't necessarily mean he's coming to New England.
Plus, doesn't he have TV things he's been looking into as well? Fox or one
of
those?
He's full of it. He's got everything.
He says he would blow the doors off of that, by having, if he took over as one of those analysts.
How about for our purposes if they do sign Vander Jagt and Keyshawn? At least we'll have guys to go to for
I was going
to
say, that's good for us.
they'll come up with some new locker room policy.
Trust me.
Keyshawn lifts from 12 to 2.
Right. Let's see. Dwayne says, I read in the Herald that Vinatieri's contract averages $2.5 million a year. $2.5 million? Are you kidding me? This isn't a blockbuster deal by any stretch. I'm no GM, but I know he is worth that and then some. If this crew hadn't won 3 Super Bowls already, I'd be calling for some firings.
I agree. True. If they hadn't won 3 Super Bowls, people would be calling for their heads.
You should be happy with that. That's your view.
Right.
What are you all upset about?
But it's like,
that's why they're not calling for anybody's firing, because they won 3 Super Bowls. That's your theory.
It's not that the
everything is hunky dory because we won the Super Bowl in 2001.
All right. It's not that the talent that the Pats have lost in free agency couldn't be replaced. It's that the confidence that once existed in clutch situations is now lost to a large extent. I always felt that Givens would make the clutch catches, Vinatieri the clutch kicks, and McGinnis the clutch tackle or sack.
Well,
these players were extremely dependable, but maybe not so spectacular in their play. This offseason, the Pats have lost players in all 3 phases of the game who are dependable playmakers. So the question becomes, who will replace these players? Is Bethel Johnson going to become the next Chad Johnson?
No.
Maybe Klecko is going to light it up on defense this year. Did the Patriots make an honest effort to keep these players around? Were these players undervalued? I want answers, damn it.
That was a good
I think that's a very good email. And I think the part about the clutch aspect of those players, McGinnis, Givens, Vinatieri, I think that's right on, I think. Those are guys that made plays when it mattered most.
And
I'm not saying they don't have any left, because obviously you have Brady, Branch has been very good in the clutch, Seymour, Brewski, these guys are still playmakers, but they lost a few. They've lost a few,
I got a feeling if they sign Vander Jagt and he lines up for a game-winning kick, it ain't gonna be like in Pittsburgh where we all, when Vinatieri came out.
I won't be shutting my computer off.
The laptop.
Right.
I have my computer in the bag by the time the ball hits the net. Because I was on the way down on that one. Tom's looking at us like, well, how can you guys leave? The game's on the line.
First game, everyone was leaving.
Remember that? You're not with us, Fred, but Andy and I had everything packed up. We were walking away, and Tom's just looking at us like, what is wrong with you guys? It's like, Adam doesn't miss. Maybe you're new here. Maybe you don't know. Adam don't miss.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fred's in the middle of eating his sandwich.
Fred, what will you do when he hits a game-winning kick against the Patriots? Will you cry?
I'll be upset.
He needs a hug.
Is our circulation manager going to come back?
She's gonna...
Yeah, that's a concern, by the way.
She's on vacation, and her favorite player has departed.
She definitely has to redo her cubicle, because half of it is Adam
Vinatieri.
Is
there a chance she doesn't come back? And is there a
circulation manager
picker?
Is on vacation, and I don't know if I'll ever see her again.
James from Roanoke, North Carolina. Now that the Patriots have lost, not arguably the best, but the best clutch kicker in NFL history, who's next? What other key member of the Patriots' success are they not going to make an effort to keep?
Right,
I can see where they might want to bring out in younger players that can help you prevent the loss of playing time to injuries. But to sit back and let other teams glut your core of experienced players and not even make an effort to at least get them to stay is making the management of the Patriots look less and less like the best in the NFL. I think they made an effort with Vinatieri. I mean, anyway, who is going to be left to help those inexperienced young players you bring in to mature and become the type of players you have won with in the recent past? We all have questioned this team's off-season moves in the past, but this year's lack of any positive moves has to be the most perplexing. I hope that by the time they make up their minds to make some moves towards signing some talented players, there will be some better than average players left. Let's hope that the team has a plan just to get better and not to take a few steps back by getting younger talented players in order to build for the future. Well, what if that is their plan? I mean, Jim, are you going to be... All right, anyway, rebuilding is supposed to be what losing teams do and not teams that are 1 year removed from back-to-back Super Bowls. Even more, the question should be, is the need to cash in so overwhelming that you would give up a chance to win another Super Bowl to chase after the dollars on a team that most likely will not be there before you retire? Has the paycheck become more important than the game? It seems that way.
It should be.
I'm a little confused at the end there. Is he criticizing Adam at the end, or...
I don't know, but
or is Adam Vinatieri going to make
in any job in the world?
Tom Brady
in any job in the world? You go where the money is. I love it here, but if I told Fred that the Globe wanted me, he would say it was nice knowing you. Stay in touch. You know what I mean? That's the way life is. What are you going to do about it?
And I also agree with Fred. You know, when he interjected there in the middle of the email saying, I do think the Patriots made an attempt, and I think the Patriots made attempts. I think it would be one thing to sit there and say. I think part of me says I would rather have it be they weren't interested in any of these guys. They didn't really think that any of these guys were part of their future, and they were fine with them going. But I think that based on the fact that they came back to Givens with an offer, a pretty good offer, and Tennessee just offered more. They went back to him again and upped it a little bit more, gave him some opportunities with incentives to get to about $20 million, and he still didn't want to stay. I think that's disappointing. I think the fact that McGinnis, you said that they had an offer and they knew what McGinnis wanted and they weren't, and he wasn't willing to come back after 13 years or 12 years. And then with Vinatieri, there was a report in the Providence Journal today, Tom Curran wrote that as recently as yesterday afternoon, they went back to Adam and say, what can we do to work this out?
But you
I think that's more disappointing. That's more, in my opinion,
right.
Scary.
It is because
the fact that they're trying to get these guys and they still can't.
Well, but also, see, you can't underestimate the ego of these players. And it's like, well, if you really wanted me, you would have come, it's too late now. You know, the ego, it becomes like this game.
What about
where,
the ego of the people making the decisions to give the offers after the
fact? I think it all works in.
A lot of egos.
The stubbornness.
I think there's stubbornness on both sides.
Absolutely. And, the Patriots, they have the philosophy. They're not going to
compromise. I understand. Paul, remember Caddyshack?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, remember when D'Annunzio wants a Coke, and he goes, "So Lou raised the price at 75 cents," and he said, "I ain't paying 75 cents for no Coke." Well, you ain't getting no
you
Coke.
Ain't getting
you
know no what Coke.
I, well, right now
and
the Patriots
the
ain't getting
open,
no Coke.
That's rough.
You know what I mean?
Bill Belichick's going to get beat up at some point because isn't there a fight right
after
that?
Because Lou comes back right at that time, and he has to get out of the
point
cage.
Point is, Lou is the market. He set the price, and you can't just pay 50 cents for a Coke if it's 75 cents.
And the market sets the market. You don't set the market.
That's my whole thing about if everybody else wants to overpay. Well, it's not overpaying if that's what everybody's paying.
Right.
It's not. Whatever a guy gets, that's what he gets.
Otis writes
there with your principles and lose games.
I think many of us have been resigned to the fact that our man, Adam, was going to be moving on. But for him to stay in a conference and kick for the Colts, that's just plain bad. I was hoping he would reunite with Bill Parcells and maybe help the old man make another Super Bowl run. Green Bay is the middle of rebuilding, so I really took that seriously. Where did the Colts come from? I only hope we do not sign Mike Vanderjagt just to get even with Indy. Honestly, I'd rather take a chance on a rookie, any rookie. Hell, I'd rather have Rohan Davey kick.
Rohan Davey,
I know it's easy to
worse.
Say now, but I just do not want the idiot liquored up kicker, regardless of his impressive stats. He may not be such an idiot now, though.
I'd like to bring up something I heard on the radio this morning. Mike Chappell, beat writer, Indianapolis Colts, Indy star, was talking about Mike Vanderjagt, and all he kept expressing was how much he liked Mike Vanderjagt, how much he was rooting for him to have success, to kind of get rid of this baggage that's grown over the years. He said he's made a lot of important kicks, made a lot of good kicks, has kind of picked the worst times to kick it in the butt, as he stated, and has said some dumb things in the media that the media has then run with, but he said most of the players didn't have a problem with
I think they're ripe for the picking.
And he said that, he had the misfortune of kind of ticking off the front office, and that ran him out of town, but he said more people than don't really like him.
and that he's a pretty good guy.
But don't you agree, Andy, that when you pay a kicker, you're not paying him for the field goal when you're up 31-3. You're paying him to hit that field goal against the Steelers.
Right.
Then that's the only problem I have with Vander Jagt.
But you're also not paying him to not go on David Letterman, which ticked off the front office and some of those things. So.
Right. Well, I'm just saying I don't really have a problem with him personally. It's just I would just be so scared if I was a Patriots fan. It was the playoffs and he came out for a game-winning kick. That's all I'm saying.
Then you should have signed Adam Vinatieri.
I would have.
Kickers should be seen and not heard, period. And this guy, you know, forced himself.
Don't
on
talk
him
to
he's
me.
Seen shanking them.
Jared from URI, call me conservative or a loyalist, but I'm not at all that devastated about Adam leaving. Sure, it stinks that he's a Colt now, but that's the nature of the business. For everyone who thinks they're a football genius, you don't know as much as Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli. The Pats are $20 million under the cap, and I'm confident they're going to make some big moves this offseason, whether it's signing Seymour to a long-term deal, bringing in LeVar Arrington, or Charles Woodson. I won't be disappointed.
Those are all rumors.
Charles Woodson.
Those are all rumors.
See, I don't have any problem with that philosophy. I disagree with it, but I don't have any problem with someone who sits there and says, I have faith in what Belichick and Pioli are doing. I've seen them do it in the past. I think they could do it again, and I don't have any problem with letting guys go. Yep. The problem I have is when guys are up in arms over the fact that Adam Vinatieri is not here, and then they preface, you know, they surmise all their comments by saying, but Belichick knows what he's doing, and Bill I trust. To me is just useless.
And Fred, let me address the LeVar Arrington rumor because I heard it personally. John Clayton, who is an idiot, was saying that the Patriots are waiting to make a big move, like perhaps LeVar Arrington. That's all he has no inside information.
Right. Anyone can say that.
Like me, like I did 2 months ago. It's just throwing it out.
It's true.
That's where people are getting the LeVar Arrington thing from, because Clayton said it last
night. I would
night
definitely take LeVar Arrington, by the way. I said it so when Tom brought it up a couple of months ago. I liked it. I think, you know.
Andy's not sold on LeVar Arrington.
I'm sold on him because, again, Tom.
He's got talent.
I like guys with talent.
Steve Osiecki. He lives in Makakilo, Hawaii. You know where that is, Gary? Makakilo? Yeah, he does. I often go to tiny bars up in the mountains and talk sports with all the locals all over. It's like these, visiting hermits or something? for people everywhere, Patriots mystique is equated with two people, Tom Brady and Adam Vinatieri. I know that for the Patriots, this is a business, but this is a loss of spirit. Not just for Patriots faithful, but for all those who came to respect the work ethic and team concept they came to exemplify. I hope the management understands how big a spiritual loss this is, but I doubt it. P.S. It's 7 a.m. on my hill here in Hawaii.
You have wireless internet there? You're up in the mountains at a tiny bar and you're emailing?
I wish I was.
They have tiny,
in the,
tiny
in the
bars
tiny
in the mountains
of Hawaii right now.
Gary, you're a Hawaii native.
I've never been to bars in the mountains, Fred.
No? You don't go running around in a loincloth?
He sticks to those swank resorts, you know, the fancy ones.
All inclusive.
Caviar, champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
Brian in Miami, is Adam leaving the team on good terms? I realize his ego may be a little bruised considering the team did not think he was worth the money other teams were offering him, but I just can't understand why the team did not franchise him. Is it because the Patriots promised him that they would not use the tag on him after last year?
No.
Or if so, are they simply just honoring their word? They have not used the tag on anybody this season, have not signed any big names, so what are they waiting for? I don't want to think that they are saving money so that they can re-sign Deion Branch and Richard Seymour. Branch is a great receiver, but he will not receive a contract close to Harrison's or Wayne's or even Hines Ward. In my opinion, 33 years old for a kicker is still relatively young. See Morton Anderson in the team. Should have fought harder for the best clutch kicker ever, especially when they have money to spend.
Well, I should say something that David Givens received a contract similar to Hines Ward. So if you think Deion Branch is better than David Givens, then there's a chance he could get that kind of money.
But here's the thing about the franchise tag. The deadline to name a guy a franchise player was before this new CBA
February 23rd,
got settled. Right. And Belichick came out and said, we're not going to do anything until we know what the situation is. So
the night Tom Casale and I sat down with him and Shula's in Indy.
One of 16 Shulas.
So once the CBA got settled, it was too late for the Patriots to use the franchise, even if they wanted to on Vinatieri. But even then, I don't think they would have.
I don't either.
I think they thought that was too much of a raise
because I can understand Bill didn't know what the parameters were, but I don't necessarily think that $94.5 million and $102 million were the difference between franchising him or not. They didn't want to franchise him.
They put a number on him in their mind, and that was the number.
Craig writes in just quickly a couple words, flippin' ridiculous, regarding Adam Vinatieri, and Craig is 16.
Oh, and by the way, I do not think Adam left on quote-unquote good terms.
I don't think he did either.
No.
I think that's why he left.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
I think if he was on good terms, he'd still be a Patriot.
Right.
Ari from Herndon, Virginia. Let's see.
Ari Fleischer?
No, Ari Sky. Oh. I'm as hardcore a Patriots fan as anyone I know, as evidenced by the Super Bowl shrine in my office, but I'm trying to real hard to see the rationale behind the latest developments. The Patriots had every resource necessary to at least sign McGinnis and Vinatieri and make serious runs at players like Jurevicius and Townsend. We've lost the heart and soul of Super Bowl 36, 38, 39. I really hope that there is some massive deal in the works, either by acquisition, trade, or the draft, that accounts for the need to hold more than $20 million in salary cap room. Is there any explanation? Can we ever expect any of the Patriots management to speak up? One thing's for sure, the team had better up its security budget next season if they end up with anything like the team we have now. Wow.
At least it'll get louder on here.
Can I just address that again? And this is the part that I think that people are kind of missing that I think is the most concerning, that doesn't seem to concern anybody but us.
Right.
Is that, you know, they have the resources to sign these guys, right?
They've made offers.
They tried.
Mm-hmm.
The difference here is it's not a money issue. It's not a cap issue. The players have chosen to leave. I think that is the most disappointing part of all of this.
Mike,
I agree.
Is there any, you're in the know in this. Well, first of all, how does season tickets work?
What do you mean?
Have they already been renewed for next year?
They're in the renewal season is right now.
Is there any chance you see any turnover or repercussions or anything for this?
You absolutely could.
Because I gotta tell you, there's one guy who emailed SPFW, one of about 100 and whatever, and he said, but I'm gonna look at the positive or something. At least I'll get season tickets now.
No, I mean, there could be a certain amount of people who decide not to renew their season tickets.
How many?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think people
have
the stones.
But see, the waiting list is so big that they just fill it up.
Yeah.
People don't have the stones to turn their tickets.
No.
They're all talk.
I think that's funny. You talk a good game
and then you write the check out.
But
send it in.
I think it's funny that someone would do that. I think it's really funny. I don't think it will happen either.
I think
that's someone like me would do that, but I don't.
And you're hurting yourself in the end when they're good again in 2 years. And
right.
You want to go to a game.
But it's not about good or bad. See, I have always been one of those guys.
About right and wrong.
You root for players.
I root for players and not laundry. And most people root for laundry.
I root for the team. Mike in Florida.
Blind.
I root for the team. I'm a fan of the Patriots.
They signed Terrell Owens. Like, I'm not happy that, you know, I like Drew Bledsoe and I want the Cowboys to win because he's on their team. I'm not happy that they signed Terrell Owens, whereas Tom is beside himself. He's so excited.
Can't sleep at night.
And I'm the guy who roots for absolutely no reason. There could be a random thing, and I root for a guy.
You root against.
No,
you
I don't
root for.
That
you root against.
True. I root
Andy
for random.
And he's a
negative fan.
You know what?
You're a negative fan.
No, I'm not.
I could not agree with you more.
I agree with
that
you, too.
Who do I root against?
Who do I root against? Everybody.
You do.
You don't go in front of a team
you hate
and root
people,
for
you
anything.
Hate everybody.
You root against things.
You root against Tiger Woods every week in golf. Just because. You hate him.
Tiger Woods.
Right. And that's what you do.
You hate Tiger Woods.
He's hateable.
Why?
Because he's a programmed robot.
You have very few
who
guys.
Who did his own programming.
Who's never... Well, no, first of all, his parents programmed him. Because when you're 3 years old, you don't program yourself. And second of all, he's never hit a bad shot in his life that wasn't caused by a fan or a camera or a this or a that or somebody, a flash of the sun, anything.
Well, lucky for him, he doesn't hit too many
You like John McEnroe?
Yeah.
Same guy?
No.
Okay. Mike in Florida.
Personality. He wasn't a robot.
Mike in Florida. It's a little... All right. Mike in Florida says, I guess Adam is all about the money and Bill and Scott are all about treating people like robots. I have a little less love for the Pats today. The Willie Mack thing really got me. If it is true, they didn't even attempt to reach a deal with him. The future doesn't seem so bright in Pats land anymore. That's Mike in Florida.
I'm surprised we're not getting many from the other side.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that most of them would be this.
The other side is shrinking.
The other side is shrinking.
Troy Brown will shrink it a little bit more if he signs up. I mean, it's shrinking.
Mark in Daytona Beach. Okay, the Pats have just lost a bunch of free agents, including icons like Adam Vinatieri, Willie Mack, and probably Troy Brown. Put yourself in Bill Bees and Scott Pioli's shoes. No, you are well below the salary cap. You have several holes to fill and fewer options in the free agent market to do it with. Who do you target in free agent? What positions are better suited to cover in the draft?
There's not much left in free agency right now.
Right.
But there will be. There'll be more guys out.
According to Fred, on June 1st.
I know we're banking on that post-June 1st.
June 1st, all these 22-year-old studs.
June 1st doesn't mean anything with the CBA.
Well, according to you, all these 22-year-old studs are going to be let
They changed the rule now with June 1st.
What is it about that?
You don't get that season. You don't get any more of an advantage of cutting people after June 1st
Whatever
now than you do.
I think you're wrong on that.
Oh, I'm not sure. Now with the new CBA,
I think that was the potential old CBA if it didn't get done.
Right.
Maybe.
Check with Jonathan, but I still think that when you do it after June 1st, you can
after
spread
June
the hit out over 2 years.
Very overrated. Okay. That's a very
overrated. Well, no, traditionally you're right. But there's also
this year, the Patriots.
Not only that, it's getting less and less because now agents are demanding that.
There's other reasons, and I know Larry Allen isn't a good player, but there's other reasons guys get cut on other times of the offseason besides the June 1st rule.
So what you're telling us.
And that's what I'm saying. That's less and less because now agents are demanding that roster bonuses are put in place in March. They can be out in the open market earlier so they can get some money.
So what you're telling us, Fred, is the Patriots are sitting back and they have a list of players.
I don't know what they're hoping
that they get caught and then we'll sign them.
I don't know what I just know is that could be a possibility.
Can I just say?
I'm with you guys. Right. I don't know what
there
they're doing.
There has never been a player cut on June 1st that didn't have baggage.
I was
either age, attitude, something. You don't just get cut on June 1st because, woohoo!
Can I just say, I brought this up to somebody in the organization yesterday. And I said, because the local sports station, EEI, Glenn Ordway, has been saying that for the better part of a week. He's been saying that they have their eye on the future, looking down the road at some guys that they think are potentially going to be out there.
So I
broached the subject with somebody in the organization yesterday. I said, so is there any truth to that? Is there guys that we're looking at, you know, in the future that we think are going to get let go? I was utterly laughed at. Laughed at. For he said,
yeah,
"How do we
with
know
Ken Flanders?
How do we know who is going to be available?" Now, I think the only guy that's good, the only guy that we have an idea that might be available based on the fact that Buffalo has given him permission to seek a trade,
Eric Moles,
right? But
according to everyone, we're the only team that is interested in him.
If we think
we're going to pay him $5, and he'll say thank you.
If we think that there's quality of Eric Moles' ability that's going to be available in the coming weeks and months,
somebody
I think
here,
we're deceiving
somebody
ourselves.
In this organization probably told Glenn Ordway that.
Or he made it up.
Well, I'm just telling you, someone in the organization who I asked point blank laughed
at that
notion.
You don't know. When somebody said to Ordway, we're looking down the road at people that would come available, they didn't tell Glenn Ordway that they were talking about 2007.
Off the air, I'll tell you where Glenn Ordway got it.
Okay. But it that doesn't mean that they were talking about this season.
And it was not in the organization, by the way.
Could be talking about the draft.
Gabe from Trevose, Pennsylvania. My question, other than the obvious sad news of the personal player loss, but the player personnel, Scott Pioli, didn't he just sign for one more year this year? Will he be here next year, or will he continue with the mass exodus from Foxborough? Please let me know if you have any info. I want to let all the Patriots players know that I am very thankful for what they gave us in the three championships. I can only hope that we will see the success and magic of the past again in my lifetime. Wow.
Lifetime? How old are you?
I don't know.
Wow.
I always think of Gabe as a young name.
Let's see. Henry writes in, hey guys, Adam Vinatieri is going to the Colts. I could have seen him going to an NFC team like the Cowboys or the Packers, but he stayed in the AFC, went to the Colts, and that makes it very hard to swallow. It also puts a dagger into the hearts of all Patriots fans. All I have to say that the Patriots and the Colts rivalry just got more interesting, but I have a Patriots so-called possible to-do list. The replacements per se. Kicker to replace Adam, Paul Ehninger, and maybe Vanderjack. Linebacker to replace Willie, LeVar Arrington, or Sam Cowart, or even Bobby Carpenter. Cornerback, Charles Woodson, Andre Dyson, hey, even Ty Law. Guard, re-sign Stephen Neal. Wide receiver, trade for Eric Moles, maybe Nate Burleson, Keyshawn Johnson, Johnny Morton, etc. Let me know what you
think.
Johnny
Morton?
That's from Henry in San Antonio. A lot of Texas
things. He must have missed his retirement party.
I just want to know where this money's coming
from. Isn't Charles Woodson just a rich man's Tyrone Poole who's missed all kinds of time?
I put it in
the last 2 years he's been
he sucks.
The last 2 years he's been
that,
franchised.
Hasn't he played any games?
And when he played, he hasn't played very well.
Wayne.
If I'm playing college football, I'll take Charles Woods.
Right.
Wayne Brady says, heard Paul yesterday on EEI beating down the In Bill We Trust slogan. Here's my take on this as a loyal, knowledgeable, committed Patriots fan. The days I watched the press conference of Bill resigning as the HC of the NYJ,
we're all thrilled.
And the first press conference as the Patriots' new head coach, I was crushed, thinking that we're screwed. And the first season didn't change that thinking much. Then Drew got injured. And when Brady was named the starter for the rest of the year after losing to St. Louis and Drew was declared fit to play, that was the last time I truly questioned BB. The lawyer cut raised my eyebrows, but in hindsight, everything went pretty nice for the 3 out of 4 run. All along the way, a few hiccups, but once we beat Carolina in Super Bowl 38, we knew it was no fluke. The Pioli-Belichick system works. There have been plenty of things to question, but as a fan, you have to be very satisfied with the results to this point. The frustrating thing so far in the offseason is that we're $20 million under the cap. We're waiting patiently on the sidelines in free agency, as the system indicates, while other teams that are historically known for pushing the salary cap to the max are signing talent like Pete Shepard loading his lunch tray at the Old Country Buffet. I mourn Vinatieri's loss as much as any true Patriots fan. After looking at the 2005 season numbers, Adam got his due based on reputation. He was 25th in field goals made, tied 18th in made percentage, tied for 18th in scoring. Those numbers alone don't justify the Colts' offer, but good for him. He earned his payday. Bill did the same thing to Lawyer after a subpar season. My faith in BB is that he truly looks at the organization without emotion. Seems odd when your primary resources are humans.
Kind of had to take emotions in when you don't have any.
But that's the way it works in a lot of situations where the CEO is charged with maximizing shareholder value. Am I scared? You damn Skippy. Do I think other teams are passing us by in talent? Maybe.
You damn Skippy.
Does this force us to get younger? Probably. Are players fed up with the system? Geez, I hope not. What am I banking on? I don't know. I truly hope that BB knows something the rest of us, the teams, don't, because this ride has been too much fun to let the train stop now.
The only part of the email I didn't understand,
Wayne is from Denver,
is when he said that once Drew Bledsoe got injured, he stopped questioning Bill Belichick. Did Belichick tell Mo Lewis, listen, Bledsoe's going to be running down the sideline here. I want you to hit him in the chest with your helmet. I don't understand
that. You got to do it really hard, though, because you got to almost kill him.
Because we got a stud waiting in the wings.
And just to take that a step further, Belichick thought so much of Brady at the time that he put Bledsoe back in the game with a concussion in a shared blood vessel and he almost died a couple hours later.
That's how much he thought he had with Brady
on the sideline. But in Bill, I trust.
Drew wasn't hurt. That was a coach's decision.
Coach's decision.
I never know where you're falling, Paul. I don't know if you like Belichick or you don't. You call him a great coach, but then
you're not paying attention?
I really don't see how this is any debate whatsoever. I think the man's a great, great, great coach.
Mark says, just wanted to give a pre-goodbye to Troy Brown,
former editor,
Patriots
Football Weekly.
I will never forget a play he has made in the season final in 1996. It was against the Giants in Meadowlands. I remember that well. The Pats were down by 5 or 6. It was late in the fourth quarter, and the Pats were driving. On a 4th and 20, Drew Bledsoe threw a pass that Troy Brown made an awesome clutch grab on. A few plays later, Ben Coates caught the game winner. I will miss you very much, Mr. Brown. Those were the days. So
they're saying goodbye to guys.
It's a pre-goodbye.
did Troy sign while we're on the show or something?
He's just assuming that he will.
It's a pre-goodbye. I remember
that.
He was on his back, basically, and sat up and made the catch.
Yeah, except it was a third down, but that's okay.
On 3rd and 20.
3rd and 10.
3rd and 10. Troy just finds a way to get 11.
Let's see.
Great catch.
This is from Buzz. I don't know. He doesn't have a name here.
Lightyear?
Loves the show, so I'll read his email. I saw Moles has been given permission to seek a trade. What do you think the Pats would have to give to get him? And is there any news on Ty Law? Haven't heard anything about him except him being in New England to see Harrison. Has he got any offers yet? Well, that story was broken by Tom Casale.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. And he's also another one of those guys that has a problem because his agent's been decertified or whatever you call it.
Half the brothers.
I don't believe Law has gotten any offers as of yet. I don't even think he's visited.
Carl Poston was the head of that team.
Really?
Just my impression that I get that Carl was the leader and Kevin, right?
Yeah.
Is the other one?
Yeah.
Is the number
two. I always call him Tom.
Here's the problem, Fred.
Okay, let's hear it.
Marv Levy can't get into his room at the hotel. Me and Andy know that for a fact. But let's just suppose he's smart enough.
He's out there with the card. Why won't
suppose
this thing turn
he's
green?
Smarter than the general manager of the Bengals who gave away Corey Dillon for a sack of beans.
Would you trade Eric Moulds to the Patriots if you were the Buffalo Bills?
Patriots did it with Drew Bledsoe.
Because it was their only chance.
I just, well, but the see, Patriots are
I also
are
think that they felt
threat.
Like Drew Bledsoe didn't have much value.
The but Patriots, they did it. Well, that they don't, well, the Patriots, so you think that they think Moulds has value?
Yeah, the
well,
Bills are chasing the Patriots. They see that they need who's receivers.
They?
You're going to help
Bills.
Them get better?
Right.
I just want that would be Eric like Moulds. The Eagles trading T.O. to the Cowboys if the Chiefs really wanted him. You
well,
know
I mean, the Patriots gave, I mean, obviously the Bills thought Bledsoe had value. They gave the Patriots a first round draft pick for
right.
him. Patriots got something in return and the Bills got something.
Right.
So if the Patriots are willing to give the Bills a second round pick, let's just say.
But if there's
say,
any other market is the question. If
I don't
anyone
know.
Else offers
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd say if the,
I mean,
if the
you,
Patriots
you never,
are willing to
never,
give a number
if
two.
If you have an option, maybe. You don't give a guy inside your own division.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be tough for them to get him through a trade.
I think a big
I
part
agree.
Of that, as much as I don't like to say it because it puts Bledsoe down, is that Belichick felt pretty confident that Bledsoe being in the division wasn't going to hurt him. I really think that was a big part of it. I think if he had his druthers, he probably wouldn't have traded him in the division.
Right.
But I think he felt like, if push comes to shove, I think I can defend Bledsoe
does,
well
does
enough.
Does
Moulds
that
he's not gonna
have
hurt
any
me.
Triggers that big payments coming up that at a date that they'll have to cut him?
Well, if you acquire him, you got to rework a deal.
You're going to rework.
You're not
trade.
Acquiring the contract. You have to do.
He's not going to be a $10 million cap hit. Right? Well, I don't know what he would be with the Patriots because he wouldn't have the.
Still,
any,
he has a large salary there.
But I don't know what the bonus money. How much?
Well,
you know,
can the Bills can the Bills operate with Moulds on their roster this year?
I don't think
on,
so. I don't
well,
think
he's on the roster.
He's on the roster.
I mean, going forward,
I don't think so. I think a team you have to look out for is the Eagles because they need a receiver badly in. They have draft picks that they can. They have a lot of money to spend, so that's a possible trade option for Moulds there too.
Yeah, he might be a lawyer Malloy. Moulds might end up being like Malloy. They might just wait it out, and when it comes down to when they have to get under the cap with everybody,
yeah,
they might let him go then to try to stick it to Malloy. I try to stick it to Moulds the way
well,
the Patriots
stuck
it to
if Malloy. He would only call Marv Levy back. This could all be settled.
It's true.
Let's see. Frustrated Pats fan writes in. I was supportive of most of the Patriots' moves until this year. It's tough to see that the strategy is right now for the Patriots. I think the losses of David Givens coming into his prime and Adam Vinatieri, best clutch kicker in the game, are coming back to bite the Patriots. I love Willie McGinnis, but I understand the economics and the age factor there. I am also very concerned that many good players will not want to come here because of the apparent penny-pinching ways. Hopefully this team is not going to become the Boston Bruins of the NFL. The coach always says that we can play better and coach better. Well, we can retain key free agents and sign new free agents better also. After last year's free agent signings, Dwayne Starks, Chad Brown, Monty Beisel, etc., and this year's free agent losses, it seems like the wheels are coming off the wagon. I don't want to talk about past performance.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
Belichick never wants to look at past performance, so I think we should hold him to the same standards and look at what is going on right now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A good email. The only thing I would say... again, it's my theme of the day is I think that everybody's focusing on the penny pinching ways, which I don't think are the major issue here. I don't think these guys are cap casualties. I don't think that they're not offering any money. Now, are they offering as much? Not. No, they're definitely not in most cases. They're not offering as much. But I don't think that's the main issue. I think the main issue here is what Andy said. I think if Adam Vinatieri, $1 more, I'm out. Just give me a reason to get out of here because I can't wait to get out. That's what is the most distressing to me as a Patriots fan right now is that it seems like the players can't wait to get out of here. And I wonder why. It's not about money because these guys are getting offered a lot of money. It's not just about money.
Joey Feep writes in. Nice job with the audio tribute opening the show, Gary. Enjoyed that.
What was that?
Oh, you missed it.
That was pretty good.
Wow.
I don't have a spare hour.
Was it Adam?
It was great. No, it was all his kicks with Gil in the background, and then Gary,
audio
Gary
montage.
Played some sound bites in between. It was good. Fred,
actually,
Fred got all cranky.
We'll close the show with it, Gary. We'll close the show with it. Guys, I'm concerned, surprised, and more than a little nervous about the team overall, but am taking a wait-and-see posture. Let's see what happens in the remaining free agent period, how the draft ends up going. I'm hoping for the best, but not counting on vying for another Super Bowl in 2007 and beyond. I am not jumping ship by any means, but I am concerned about the team in general. So,
does that mean 2 years he's counting out the Super Bowl, or is he saying the Super Bowl actually gets played in 2007?
I don't know. I always get confused with that anyway.
We don't want to confuse Fred.
Let's see.
Fred, how many games are they going to win this year? I need you to say it
right now. Oh, I can't tell you right now.
Right now.
Right now
with the roster
right now. Now, say it. With the roster right now?
With the roster right now.
Who?
Jeez, I was going to say six.
I mean, you know.
They still got Brady.
They don't have any receivers.
Oh, one of them's Indy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on. But this isn't the roster that they're going to play with.
Do you guys feel,
again, we're just going to pick players out of midair and just.
Do you guys feel the Indy aspect of this is as big a deal as anything?
I think it's cool. It's just, yeah.
Forget about backstory. Cool. Like, as a Patriots fan, does that bother you more?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, it doesn't bother
really?
Me.
Really? Yeah. It doesn't really bother me that much. I would be much more upset if he was in the division.
But you don't understand. You're talking about traditional rivals. This would be like San Fran, Dallas in the early 90s, who aren't traditional rivals, but are rivals because both teams are good.
At the
last 4 years, the Colts and Patriots have been major rivals.
Sure.
That's why it hurts.
Good argument. It's a good argument you
Absolutely.
Made right there, Tom. Not like you Mo Lewis nonsense. That was a good argument.
Oh, I have a question about one of the emailers.
I mean, Ty Law going to the Jets? Who cared, really?
Right, because they stink.
Because the Jets stunk.
Right.
Well, they weren't supposed
Chad
to,
Chad Pennington hadn't gotten hurt.
It was supposed to be good. Everybody forgets that.
I knew they were going to be bad. I bet Brian still owes me $10 if you're listening.
You know everything. Three Super Bowls in 4 years.
Emailer that said he kind of hoped Adam was going to go to Dallas and help the old man get back to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Who was he talking about?
Parcells.
I assume. He was
Who
talking
else?
About Parcells. He was hoping Parcells.
Drew. I didn't know
Drew,
an old man.
Well, Drew is
I was just
man.
Wondering why a Patriots fan wanted the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl.
In NFL circles, I mean, Drew's up there.
Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't know who he was referring to.
No, but he said Parcells. He was hoping Parcells was going to sign him and help the old man win another Super Bowl.
Grizzled. Sitting on the golf course with his shades on
during
the interview.
A very, very weak look. Oh, did he look like a dork?
Let's see. David writes in, it seems to me that many experts talk about the fact that the Patriots weren't that competitive last year. The team had a chance to go all the way, but in the end, reality set in. It's time for change, and the changes are now happening. I'm sad to see Vinatieri leave. He is getting paid big money. There will be a kicker in New England next year. Perhaps he won't be in his 30s fighting back problems. I thought he had an off year last year. McGinnis and Dwight are clearly aging. How much is really left in their tank? Troy Brown is no spring chicken.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to forget. Now, this is two emails we got, Wayne and this one. Now, do you believe us that there's an aspect of people out there that are saying that Adam's just not that good?
Smear. I just want to point out, there will be a kicker in New England next year, and Bill Belichick would rather have another kicker. Because he told me that
there's no kicker
he'd rather have than Adam Vinatieri.
But
so he's going to have a different kicker.
But you've really been arguing with the three of us that you don't see anybody saying these things about Adam. Now, we're on the show here in a half-hour span. We've gotten two that are saying how Adam wasn't that good. He was 20 for 25, but he wasn't that good last year.
Yeah, I don't.
And these are hardcore fans that are turning.
Yeah, and these are good fans. I'm not making fun of the people.
We trust rosy-colored sunglasses of your elf.
And I really don't have any problem with opinions. I like opinions. I don't care if they agree with mine or not. This guy has an opinion that I don't agree with. That's fine. Just admit that people
like
out
say.
There don't think that Adam is that good anymore. Because there's a section of people
I think that. I think the majority of fans who are still Bill We Trust don't feel that way. They feel that Adam was good and.
Well, could I just?
I agree. I just said there's a faction of people out there.
Yeah, well, there's always the fringe.
But you
people.
Said that you didn't understand where we were getting it from, and I said wait till the smear. Wait till the smear campaign kicks in full throttle, and there's going to be more and more over the next 2 weeks of people like Jerry Callahan this morning that say the snowball that was 4 years ago.
And I'm sure I can find fans that don't think that Bill Belichick's a good coach, but
no, I don't think
that's not the majority.
I don't think you could.
Fred, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, he had a career low in points last year. How many field goals did he attempt?
25.
Okay. Was that a career low?
I don't know.
Yes.
By far.
Okay.
So the smear people that are part of your campaign, because you're always
not
part
your,
of the smear
not
campaign.
Your specific campaign.
But this is what he does. This is Andy, all right?
He generally leads
so
the smear campaign, don't
basically
you?
Basically, he discounts everything
next week,
he says.
Next week's show, this
so
will be true.
Every
right
other
now,
word,
you're hurt.
Every other word out of his mouth, I don't have to listen
See,
to.
See, but right now, you're hurt, though, Fred.
I don't have to pay attention to him.
You
can
tell me you don't
smear
players.
His premise is based on a fact.
Next week, after you meet with all the honchos and they tell you all the spin,
history.
And they put the spin together, then this will be accurate. Right now you're hurt.
You'll
you
be
need
talking about 50 yarders and 100 points and short kickoffs and all of it.
You know. Fred, can I just mention something about Paul Edinger, who was a possible replacement? One of my friends is a very
big Bears fan, seen every game in the last decade. I called him today, said, give me your report on Edinger. He said he's a very weird kicker.
Well,
because,
he kicks backwards.
Well, not his style, but the fact that he nails kicks from like 40 to 50 yards dead on, but then he'll just start shanking 32-yarders and 35-yarders.
That tells me
he's
a choker.
Yeah, he's very inconsistent. And the key words here.
He makes the ones that it doesn't matter. If he misses, no one's going to say, it's 52 yards.
But the key words here, Fred, is that he said, I was much happier with Robbie Gould.
There you go.
So
that's Fred's guy. I got to give Fred the nod on this. Fred saw the
he's
talent.
He's a very erratic kicker.
Do you think? Can I just, let's just throw this out there. We all can agree that Belichick really cares very little about public perception, right?
Right.
He'll do what he thinks is best. What do you think the chances are that none of these guys is here and he just finds a Robbie Gould and he's the kicker? He says, you know what? You won the job in training camp. It's yours.
Decent.
What do you think the chances are of that?
I think that there will be more than one kicker in training camp.
Now, obviously, if he signs a Vanderjagt or an Edinger, it's probably going to be a deal that he's going to have to be the kicker.
Right.
But there's a way you can sign a guy, you know, a Doug Bryan type. Mm-hmm. No guarantee. You know, we'll sign you to a one-year deal. You know, if you win the job, it's yours. If not, you know, Robbie Gould, too, is going to be the kicker next year. You know, Owen Pockman's going to be the kicker. What do you think the chances are?
I think there is
a hell of a kicker coming out from Memphis.
Because remember, the guy you draft.
Because, Paul, remember,
the
Patriots scouting department is better than any other scouting
department. Well, I don't know if they're better. I don't know if they're better, but I know that no one works any harder than they do, because that's what Scott Pioli told me.
But, Tom, aren't even the best kickers, like, not even rated to really be drafted? Maybe like a seventh-round pick?
Yeah, there's the guy from Memphis who was who's got a hell of a leg on him.
Always seems to have a good kicker. What they got this year?
Houston
and Connor Hughes from Virginia. Those are your top three guys.
I mean, there's a chance you could get one of the
Caleb
top
12.
And the guy from Oregon State, Alexis, I can't think of his last name. Serna. Those are your four top kickers coming out this year.
But
two,
I mean,
will
it's not a case
drafted
with what's his name from the
Jets.
No
one's getting drafted in the second round. These are like sixth round guys.
There's no Sebastian Janikowskis.
No. So they could get a kicker late, possibly, like Paul said, and maybe.
I'm just wondering, what do you think the odds are that? Maybe they sign
strong.
They sign a journeyman to a non-guaranteed contract, and say we're gonna you come in if you win the job in training camp. It's yours. If not, I'll go to some undrafted free agent that I think I'll kick you.
Because in a rebuilding phase, you're not having a lot of games come down to field goals, and you rebuild with a kicker who will be ready in 3 years.
Andy, rebuilding here is a relative term. You and I both know this is not going to be a rebuilding year in the strictest terms with the way the rest of the NFL, you know, do you see them going less than 8-8?
No.
Do you see them out of the playoff hunt?
But
I can't see
I think
that.
There's a chance they bring in a kicker and let him learn on the run. Bring in a Bobby Carpenter and let him learn on the run.
I think it's a dangerous thing to bring in a young guy. The way Parcells did this.
But you, I don't
Parcells
think
Parcells did
to
this
win.
In 96. It was a team that was ready to win. They were very good.
There's the difference.
They had made the playoffs in 94. They took a step back in 95 when Drew hurt his shoulder. That really stunted their growth. And they had
almost killed them.
They had a terrible year.
Made him play with a broken shoulder.
And that, yeah, I know that's
almost killed
it's
him
much
too,
better
by the
than
way.
Actually literally almost killing him. I made him play with a shared blood vessel on his shoulder.
There was an ambulance, a stretcher.
Nobody knew that. They knew about the shoulder.
Anyway, the following year, they felt like they were going to be a contender. And Parcells cut ties with Matt Barr for Adam.
I don't think he thinks this is a contender right now.
No, but I'm saying that's a hard thing to do when you think you have a decent team, and they have a decent team. I don't care what you say.
Paul,
anyway,
let me ask you.
Right now, but you
know. I'm not sure they're going to. I'm not sure they have anything more than a competitive
team.
So I've heard that
an 8-8, we hope to win our division, but Super Bowl is way off in that little light in the tunnel.
If you have legitimate aspirations to win your division, you're better.
I think it's an awful division. I think it's the worst division in football.
I've heard
still.
That Vinatieri should
that.
Show loyalty. Well, to me, he sounds like he should show loyalty to Bill Parcells. Right?
Should have signed the Cowboys.
He said that that's what people were saying. Why
I don't think
he
the Cowboys
loyalty?
Made him an offer.
They didn't.
They didn't, because Parcells is stubborn with his kicking mentality. He doesn't want to pay.
I'm not sold on that. Or they talked to that idiot Hurst and couldn't find out what the ballpark was.
Well, I think it's Parcells in this case, and Tom has been saying it for a long time, and I agree with him. He's never put a lot of money into kicking. He doesn't believe in it.
Do you agree with that?
Well, no, it cost them a lot last year.
Yeah.
Again, I can objectively look at guys I like and don't like and say, Drew Bledsoe threw a terrible pass against Seattle that was returned for the game-winning field goal, set up the game-winning field goal. Even though I like Drew Bledsoe, I don't just sit there and say, in Drew, I trust. He must have saw something. That's why he threw the ball.
See something this year.
He's thrown 4,500 yards. So he must have saw something. In Drew, I trust.
He'll hit him.
Right in stride.
Well, does Bledsoe have an amazing year?
He always has
huge
guys
year
in stride. Yeah.
I say sleeper top three or four MVP candidate.
No, Parcells. Won two Super Bowls. And Bill, I trust. I mean, you know, you don't need a kicker. I'll just go through four kickers in a year. And Bill, I trust. It worked in the past.
Let's see. Let's just finish this David email. We got somebody on the line. We'll get to that in a second. He says, Troy Brown is no spring chicken. Chad Brown, Starks, Poole are gone. The management did not make excuses. They made cuts because the team is going in a new direction. It's obvious the change is in the air, and it is necessary. I welcome the change. It will be the basis of having a competitive team for the next 5 years rather than watching the wheels fall off all of a sudden to sentimental feelings. You can't live in the past. They will be required to make good decisions between now and training camp. I think that all of the players gone are very replaceable. The only one I will miss is Givens. If we lose Ashworth, we will have no offensive line. Indianapolis has lost more than they have gained. In the end, the Pats will have a kicker and most likely extra dollars to sign the key mid-salary players. Indianapolis lost Edgerrin James. They will have a running back when the season starts. I'm looking forward to April 29th, and this upcoming season will be extra exciting. I'm not upset. Change is in the air, and it is smart and necessary decision by the Patriots management. Last year kind of sucked, but it was okay as well. The coach is the coach. The coach is the reason that the team held together last year. The future is going to be exciting, and we still have the same coach. That's from David in Winnipeg, Canada.
I think that's an excellent look. I mean, probably a little too rosy at the end there for my liking, but I mean, I think it's a solid look at what's happened so far.
The Colts will have a running back. I mean, they have Dominic Rhodes, and they'll probably get Maroney, so it's not like they're going to be out of it. Besides, they're not the only team in the AFC you got to contend with.
Yeah, and why is it that, you know, the Colts lost Edgerrin James, and you look at the Colts. The Colts lost way more than they got in free agency, but the Patriots lose every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the roster and sign Richey Caldwell, but no one's concerned.
All right, James in Roanoke Rapids is on the phone. James, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, James.
Doing? Y'all read my, hello?
Yeah, we're here.
I get an echo back at me, that's why I thought you were saying something. Reason I'm calling is, I sent you an email earlier, but, after you explained things to me, I had to rephrase some things I said in the email. Up to the point where I heard the show, I hadn't heard anything that was coming from the Patriots about whether they were making offers to other players and stuff like that. I was in a dead zone here.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's definitely some question, James, as to how much the Patriots have tried to offer. We're just trying to garner our information through reports that we've read. One recently, today, Tom Curran in the Providence Journal reported that the Patriots tried to come back to Adam last night, yesterday afternoon, and say, you know, what can we do to make this right and get him back? We know for a fact, we saw Ron Borges' piece in the Globe map out the whole David Givens behind-the-scenes account, and I was told by someone in the organization that that was very accurate. So we know that they went back to Givens and tried to get him to take 17 or 18 or even as much as 20 with incentives. So that's what we're basing the fact that they have tried to re-sign some of these guys and just have failed.
And I understand what you're saying. It looks like some of the players have a opinion that, you know, just go for the money now and not worry about trying to get another Super Bowl. We just, you know, worry about our careers.
Right.
And that's fine. I don't blame them for that.
Yeah, I just say it. You know, it seems like it's turning from the people were, you know, enjoying to play football and playing football to win championships to how much money can I get?
Well, yeah, but the Patriots aren't the only teams that win championships. That doesn't mean that the Patriots are going to win the next five Super Bowls, so we don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. And the other thing is, I just thought about it while y'all were talking.
Yeah.
If Vinatieri has a big reputation of being the clutch kicker and everything, but you got to think of it in context also, the fact if Brady wasn't there, Vinatieri might not have that reputation like he has.
It's all part of the whole. You're right. But absolutely.
You could definitely turn it around, though, the other way and say if Adam didn't make the kicks, you know, would Brady have the reputation that he has?
But the point is, Paul, Adam Vinatieri could play the rest of his career and never have another chance to kick a Super Bowl winning kick. It doesn't make Vinatieri any less of a kicker.
What I'm saying is, you know, for example, I'll go back to my guy, and Tom will back me up on it. Last year, Drew Bledsoe put the Cowboys in position to win several games late in the game, and they didn't win them all because the kicker missed.
and they didn't make the playoffs. So if that happens to Tom Brady going forward, how much of his clutch reputation goes away?
Sure.
Now, is that because he suddenly doesn't know how to operate a two-minute drill? No. We're all in agreement that he's among the best ever at it.
No, it's all tied together.
I mean, if Adam doesn't kick the field goals at the end of Brady's drives, do we look at Brady as being as clutch as he is with all these late-game heroics?
There could be other kickers out there that are just as clutch as Vinatieri. There could be. They just haven't had the chance.
Now, I agree with that. Now, I'm not going to get lost in the vacuum of Adam Vinatieri is the only guy who could make these kicks.
Right, I will say, I don't know if anyone could have made that kick in the snow.
The snow's different. People call that the greatest kick in the history of the NFL for a reason.
Yeah.
Could
that
be one, coaches better than Bill Belichick?
I have to say.
Quarterbacks better than Tom Brady?
I mean, a guy like Vinatieri comes around once in a long, I mean, he's definitely, he has ice in, he's the kind of guy, I don't care what sport he's playing, if he's on the putting green and you're playing a skins game with a bunch of guys and he's got a 30-foot putt, he makes it. That's the kind of guy he is. He's just one of those guys that just does it in the clutch.
Kind of like Andy. Doesn't matter what sport it is, he's going to come through unless it's a 40-yard dash against Brian Morey
or anything else.
You have to admit that he did miss some kicks during the early parts of the games and stuff
like
that.
Sure they did.
You know? It's just when it came time
like
to win the game,
quarterbacks
he made them.
Right, exactly. He's at his best when everything's on the line.
Right.
That's when he's at his best.
Nobody is perfect, you know, not even Brady. You know, I mean, everybody makes some mistakes. And Adam has not made every kick. He has not made every clutch kick that he's tried. But I'll take his track record, much
Absolutely.
Like I take the Patriots' track record, Fred. I don't know if you do or not.
I don't know about that.
Again, I'll go back to my disclaimer 5 minutes into the show. I mean, I'll take the Patriots' track record.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Dan from Andover says, I think although it sucks that Vinatieri is leaving, people need to remember that Belichick started out as a special teams coach, and he values that part of the game more than any coach I know of. It sucks, and I think they should have found a way to keep him, but Belichick probably has a plan.
Probably.
We'll let you know when we find out.
Soon that'll be might or could have.
Did he?
Should have.
Why didn't
you? Karen's from Rhode Island. She says, did Paul Perillo just call Bill? Oh, boy. I can't believe I heard it. I also hate that Adam left and do not like Bill's decision
Despicably
to resign
human,
Adam.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that Mrs. B?
Yeah, she thinks you're too harsh.
I agree.
I think he's the best coach in football.
She says
if that's harsh, then
she says you call him cold, immune to public sentiment, unsentimental, but despicable is too harsh.
Okay. I'll soften the word then.
I'll use pond scum.
I'll use Karen's words then. But
Evan Mannix's words.
But I can't overstate this. It's impossible for me to have any more respect for the man's ability to coach football. It's impossible. I think he's the best at what he does.
Let's see. Craig, do you think that there's any chance that Nate Burleson could come to the Patriots or the Patriots trade for a player like Donald Driver? As in my opinion, these wide receivers would be a great target for Tom Brady.
I think he means
forget about trades.
I think he means Javon Walker.
Right.
Because he's disgruntled.
Right.
Donald
Driver is not going anywhere.
You know, but forget about trades. Forget it.
Well, they've traded every year.
They've traded every year, and they've had some success.
Yeah, but
any team, only when
guys like a Corey Dillon wants out.
But that's
what you mean, like Javon Walker and Eric
Driver
Foles?
Doesn't want out.
No,
Javon Walker's on the same team.
He said Donald Driver.
I understand
God,
that,
it's a typical Fred Kirsch argument.
Right. All right.
Give the guy the benefit
they
of the doubt.
They will not trade for Donald Driver.
All right, write us back and tell us if you meant
I'm
Javon
just assuming
Walker.
That he was talking about Javon Walker.
Right, well, maybe he wasn't. I don't know.
Burleson is a restricted free agent. It would cost a third round.
Only a third rounder, though. They only gave him a mid-level tender. I would give up a third round pick.
Eddie writes in. He's from New York City. I always
your own, by the way.
What?
They would have to give up their own third round pick, not the other one.
Right.
So not the better of the two.
Eddie says, I always felt
Steve Allen.
Out of all the free agency losses, Vinatieri would be the worst. It's like the Yankees losing Mariano. In your opinion, which free agency loss will make the biggest impact when the next season is over?
That's a good question.
I think it's going to be Givens.
I was going to say Givens, unless, you know, the Javon Walkers and the Eric Molds or whatever come in. And
Nate Burleson.
Right. I mean, based on what...
Now we go four wide.
All right.
But you know what I'm
Listen,
saying.
Listen, couple programming notes, okay?
Are we done?
Yeah. Gary's going to play the opening that he did for Adam Vinatieri in a second, so I want people to hang on for that. But I want to remind everyone, we got the podcast going on. We're now available on iTunes. If you go to iTunes into the podcast section, type
Boring.
In New England Patriots, you can see all our podcasts. It's pretty cool. You can subscribe to them, so when you sync up your iPod, it automatically downloads to your iPod. However, you guys are going to do a roster report on Friday.
That's correct.
So maybe you, you know, there's a lot of emails we didn't get to. Maybe you can address some things people, you know, were asking about in that Friday podcast.
And there's a chance there's some signings by then.
Absolutely. So you want to check out Patriots.com or iTunes and get the podcast on Friday as well as this show. And Gary, we're going to close with that wonderful bit you did with Adam Vinatieri. We'll see you next Wednesday.
What a sucker.
This is PFW in progress.
How do I say goodbye?
40-yard field goal attempt by Vinatieri. The angle to the left. Two for the hole. The ball down. The kick up. On the way.
But let me tell you what, he just made the hardest kick he's ever going to have, okay? Now, I hope he gets some harder ones down the road. You know, I hope he's kicking to get his team in a championship sometime. I hope he's kicking to win a championship or whatever it is. But that game-winning kick there, the first one you have, it's on the line. It wasn't easy. The field condition wasn't good. It's raining a little bit. You know, there's a lot of things involved. That's why we're taking shots in the end zone. We're trying to keep from having to make that kick. And but he made it. So I take my hat off to him. I told him that after the game. It's a pretty damn good kick.
Good evening, everyone. Gil Santos along with Gino Capoletti at the Winter Wonderland at his Foxborough Stadium. Tonight, the Patriots against the Oakland Raiders in the AFC semifinals, and the snow is coming down in Foxborough and will come down throughout this evening.
45-yard field goal attempt coming up. Snap, ball down. Kick up on the way, and it is good! It is good! 45 yards! Adam Vinatieri kicks it through the snow, and we're tied at 13-13!
That field goal to take into overtime was huge. You know, that thing, it looked like a little two-iron stinger that Tiger Woods would hit over the British Open. And the thing was, you know, it didn't go but 10 yards off the ground the whole way, but it went through, and that's the important thing.
And now they've driven down the field and put Adam Vinatieri and the Patriots in position to win. From the 13-yard line, a 23-yard field goal attempt for Adam Vinatieri. The crowd will tell you whether he makes it or not. Set to go. Snap. Ball down. Kick is up.
I'm just so proud to be on this team and so proud of this team in general that whenever anybody can step up and make a play and do something to help this team, everybody does. I'm just getting caught up in the whole roller coaster of this team. This team's awesome. I love these guys.
Ken Walter will hold. Lonnie Paxton will snap from the far hash mark. Angle to the left for Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good! It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri! Boom to 40s, 8-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team in the National Football League! Adam Vinatieri, 48 yards! Oh, baby!
We're very confident in Adam. You know, once we got him in within range, we had a great chance of hitting it. I like my odds with Adam kicking the ball. We figured we had him close enough, he can hit it straight, you know, and that's what he did.
We got a ton of champions out here, and these guys never, ever give up. I've never been so proud to be a member of anything in my life. I love every one of these guys. They just stepped up, shocked the world, but we didn't shock ourselves because we're champions.
Woo! You mentioned how you like the ball. Tell us, Adam, how you do like it held.
To the left, 41-yard field goal attempt coming for Adam Vinatieri. Snap, ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, kick is good! Kick is good! Adam Vinatieri from 41 yards away!
Don't talk to me!